groundbreaking discovery.
Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys with? NBC, CBS?
Radio God.
You gave us jobs with security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
We've got a show.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They still put you on a program on Fifth Caliber after so many years.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. Complete contest rules, send a self-addressed 10th envelope to the Mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
On the Don and Mike Show.
One of the reasons I think a lot of guys want to go see this movie is because of the sex appeal of Angelina Jolie. As much as she's a head case, as she has the tattoos,
she does look like Lara Croft.
Well, okay, Don. She is stick thin with these breasts.
I'm sorry. What is wrong with you?
She looks like a Barbie. Literally. No,
and that's a problem.
Oh, the ideal woman.
The Don and Mike Show.
For all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene, hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer, okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi. 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 Hi.
Eat my bone, dickweed.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Mr. Son of a Beach.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
He's the sole reason the Delta shuttle took off on time today.
Way to go, boys.
There was a little statue of him right above the pilot.
Yes.
Son of God. Philip Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
You know, unfortunately, Phil and I aren't going to be able to join you guys at the Palm tonight.
Why is that?
We got reservations at the Pegasus.
See you there.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Spartatarium and all the ships at sea. Hey, they are the ditch witches of the airwaves. Live from New York City, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. Hello. I'm hoping that the levels are okay. I mean, we have Super Joe running the board back at the studio. I'm
Super Joe.
You know, once again, I'm here overreacting probably to a technical situation that may not exist.
They always, like right now, they always sound a little weird.
Yeah, it does. Okay, well, listen, what the hell? We're on the air doing the show today from WNEW-FM, our New York City station. Hello, and, well, I got tons of stuff to tell you about last night. I had to split the show early to go to an important Infinity Management meeting.
A power meeting, if you will.
I got to tell you about our trip up here today. My cunny honey is in New York with me.
Your cunny honey is looking strong.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, she's looking strong. That son of yours is looking strapping. He is, what, 6 foot now?
He is taller than me. He's almost 6 feet tall.
He really, I mean, in a very short period of time, because I saw him around Christmas time, and he's sprouted.
They are here now, gentlemen in charge, not only to simply drive me crazy,
right,
but, in fact, we are apartment shopping in New York.
Wow, that is always very exciting.
Draw into that any conclusion that you wish to.
Sure.
Draw any conclusion from that you wish.
Okay.
But right now, very dangerous.
Yes,
my wife is with a realtor.
Great.
As we speak now.
Are you legitimately nervous about that? I mean,
of course I am.
Frightened to death.
Of course.
I mean, I would be. That's scary stuff. Hold on, let me call her up. She's somewhere in the city.
Yeah. I think
looking at a loft.
They're starting
with the exposed brick wall.
They're starting close.
Being forwarded. Please stay on the line.
They're starting close and moving farther away.
Uh-huh.
Well, the hipper area, you know. I told her I just want to get a place by Kennedy's Fried Chicken.
There you go. You'd probably do well there.
You do that and I'm fine.
That's smart.
Hey, why am I hearing a delay now on the telephone?
Marty.
You guys hear that too?
Sounds like CBSFM.
Yeah. Is that on the air or is that just in my headphones? What does Joe have to do to fix that?
Take the phones out of box.
Joe?
Oh, Joe.
Hey, Joe, take the phone out of audition or out of
whatever.
Try that. Hold on, I'm still getting...
All right, hold on. I'm going to hang up.
Number nine? Ah, damn it. How come nothing ever goes right on this show?
You know, we always seem to have to fix it when we start.
Hello. Hello. Do you hear the delay? Okay, don't hear it now.
No,
it's gone.
Well, your wife apartment shops. My wife is operating a ditch witch. I got an update about half an hour ahead.
Okay, good. Look forward to that.
Have a little trouble.
You'll be as petite
as she is.
Please stay on the line.
Hello?
Honey.
Yes, my boo-boo.
You're on the air. My nightmare is coming true. Are you with a realtor right now?
Yes. I'm looking at a beautiful view of Central Park.
No. The answer is no.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Wow. The answer is no. Honey, think Harlem.
No, my darling, it's beautiful here. You could, you know, the shopping, I can see stores right, you know, that I don't even have to barely leave the building to hit some really nice
honey,
places.
Honey.
Wait, what's wrong with it? Hey, hello.
Hello. Oh, that sounds funky.
Excuse me?
You know, of course we have technical problems here, trying to figure out what the deal is with the telephone. All right, push that button.
Anyway.
That's better.
Honey?
That's much better. Honey?
Yes.
That's right. You just solved it.
Robbie solved the problem. I couldn't hear my wife speak. Well, I'll call you later, I guess, because I can't hear anything on the phone right now.
Don't bother me.
Okay. All right.
Is this the first place you've looked at?
Yes. Wow. Yeah, the first place is nice, and they go up from here, I think.
No, they go down from here.
No, they get nicer.
No, they go down from here.
All right, goodbye.
Honey, two words, okay?
Dress.
Honey, two words, okay?
What?
Hell's Kitchen. Think about it.
All right, bye, honey.
Bye. Christ, you know, I don't know if that's a problem just with calling my wife on her cell phone.
We always have this problem when we come up to New York. It's the volume level of the phone line itself. If you turn it up to an audible level,
see,
it interferes with our microphone.
Let me just answer a request line. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, it's Chris Stockton.
Well, now, this doesn't sound bad.
Fine.
Maybe it's just outgoing calls.
Maybe so.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my wife. Hello?
Hey, I didn't want to bring up old news, but yesterday you guys were talking about the Timothy McVeigh. There was a hat on eBay?
Yes, there was a hat that was worn by a guy who was in the room when they filled him with the bad stuff that killed him.
Like a prison guard.
You know, I was thinking if there was a caller that had bidded on that yesterday. If you do a shout-out, have that guy call back. You can probably get the auction number, go on eBay, and probably pull up the website and get the...
You know what? Wow. I think at this point, to still be thinking about Timothy McVeigh, you got to be a little warped.
Hello.
Right.
Yeah. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
I know you.
Hey. How you doing?
Hey, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering, what's going to happen when you move to New York? Is Mike going to have to travel by plane every day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, turn your radio down. God, what an abortion this is.
But it'll be a helicopter.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
That I can fly and eat.
All right. Whatever. You know, P. Diddy is working on the phones for us right now.
P. Diddy?
The great Pete Johnson.
Peter Johnson, who has lost some weight.
Yeah. P. Diddy, who incidentally is going to be on the show today.
Very good.
We have a specific job for P. Diddy. He'll be joining us later today on the show.
Good.
So last night, listen, thank you for covering the end of the show.
No problem.
I had to cut out for this goddamn manager's meeting.
You were in your tie, your power tie, heading off to a power meeting.
And I'm sitting in front of a bunch of people last night speaking about WJFK, our Washington radio station, and we had to go to this secret place to have this dinner meeting, and we get there early, actually on time, and of course the people who were supposed to be meeting with to have this big presentation with, they're late. So we're waiting, and finally, about 30 minutes after they're supposed to arrive, they arrive.
The motorcade
arrives? Yeah. They come in, they sit down, we're at this big, gigantic table in a back room at a restaurant, very high-level CBS, Infinity Broadcasting, Viacom meeting, and they turn to me and they say, now tell us why you're here. Tell us what you want to say. And I was the first guy to speak. I swear to God, this is exactly what happened. I had a napkin in my lap. This was, we were at such a goddamn fancy restaurant.
Right.
The napkin that was in my lap had been folded and creased so tightly that when I put it in my lap, I didn't even take it out of the shape it had been folded in.
Right. So it looked like you were pitching a tent?
No.
Okay.
It had a very, now it was a paper, it was a paper, it was, you know, made of a towel-like.
Gentlemen, I am so excited about this meeting that I am fully erect.
No, it,
cloth or
yes,
paper?
It was a cloth-type fabric.
It was a fancy restaurant.
Yeah,
well,
I know, but he was. I was trying, that's what the word I was looking for, was cloth. Yet it was folded so tightly that as I went to dab my lips,
right,
because I had just got done having a diet beverage.
Uh-huh. Right.
I went like this to dab my lip. The corner of it, of this cloth paper towel thing, was so sharp that it actually, I don't know if you can see the scar, I cut my lip open.
Well, isn't that...
No. That's... Are you talking about my herpetic love sores?
Did you just rub against the a previous wound?
No. The previous wound from when we had our picture taken...
Lower shelf.
Was on the lower lip.
Okay.
Up here, that's not herpetic. That's not a
not
cold
yet.
Sore.
Yeah, so no. did you begin to bleed?
Yes, and this is now... I have a room of guys wearing suits and ties,
right?
And as I start to speak, as I am making my presentation,
you got a gusher.
I go like this. I go on my lips, and I taste blood.
Oh my God!
I then look at the napkin and put it up to my mouth like this, and I pull it away, and there is a quarter-size block. What did you just hit your microphone with the teeth? It just made me laugh. There is a quarter-size blot of blood there, and I cannot get the goddamn thing to stop bleeding.
And you're in the middle of your opening
speech. Well, I am in the beginning of it. And
that is embarrassing.
So now I'm talking, and while I'm talking, I can tell no one's paying attention to what I'm saying because they're all looking at this gusher that I've opened up.
What the hell is on that lip?
And at that point, I stop talking about what I'm talking about, the radio stuff, and I say, well, you see, the edge of this napkin is very sharp, and when I went to, and they're all looking at me like, you are just the biggest idiot in the world.
Man.
And I'm talking to them, and I'm actually putting one hand up, again, over my top lip. It was, as it turns out, a very small puncture, but, like, blood was pouring out it, oozing out. And at one point, I got my finger over this, and I'm talking like this, going, here are my thoughts for the future.
This is when you started to lose consciousness.
I take my hand away, and my index finger is covered with blood.
Oh, my God.
The blood has come all the way down my finger.
And can they see your hand?
Yeah, of course. I'm sitting in front of eight guys. And at this point, the guy sitting next to me...
And the room begins to spin.
The guy sitting next to me, he pulls out like a cocktail napkin that the drinks are sitting on. And he says, here, try this. So I go, thanks. So the whole meeting stops while I sit there and apply this tourniquet to my face.
Did you get any blood on your shirt?
No, thank goodness, no.
Good.
But on my hands.
Yeah.
And as I finally got it to stop bleeding.
Right, as it finally clotted.
Yeah. Mm. You know when I really get going, I use my hands to speak,
right.
And I use the arm motions. I realize that as I'm doing this and trying to make a point, no one's paying attention to me. They're looking at my blood-stained fingers.
Oh. Right.
Oh. Well, it's kind of appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, no,
yeah.
It would have been appropriate. It would have been appropriate about 10 years ago. You know why?
Well, why?
Because it would have been a bloody good meeting.
Bloody, bloody good. So I just felt like the biggest idiot in the world. And I think after that it went okay.
That's good.
But I bled maybe for 10 minutes at the beginning of the meeting.
You've been going like hell ever since you got this new job.
The funniest part of the meeting, though, was seeing Charles Broyhill in a suit.
What? Oh, he really, did he finally break down and wear something formal?
He bought a suit. Now, he did not have on a button-down shirt and a tie. He still had on his Tiger Woods golf shirt underneath, buttoned all the way to the top button. But he, in fact, did wear a suit. And when he arrived, I about peed my pants.
Sure. I've never seen him in a suit.
No. There's nothing funnier than seeing Charles Broyhill in a suit.
Amazing. Was it a dark suit?
Yes, it was like a navy blue suit.
Really? Wow.
So at one point, after all of the focus...
Did it look like you bought it at the thrift shop?
No, it's like a nice JCPenney suit.
Okay, very good.
So you know, nice Sears, you know, the JCPenney's. At one point, after the focus is off me and my bleeding, and I'm done with my part of the conversation, I am able at this point to turn attention to Broyhill, who has not contributed an awful lot to the meeting.
Right.
Okay, you know him. He's the quiet type. Well, at one point, I turn to the guy next to me, and I say, hey, you want to laugh? Watch the guy next to me. Watch him eat. And he says, why, my good man? What do you mean?
I was wondering, you know, not wanting to share your levity.
And I said, just look at the way he eats. I said, it's very monkey-like. It's very caveman-like.
Did it go over when you said that?
No, it took this guy... It took him a couple of minutes to get into it. And I had to feed it along. Like, as he would turn and look at Broyhill, I said... Look at the rhythm. Now, I want you to just look at the rhythm. Look at him. He's intently studying the food.
Right.
Cuts all of the pieces in a uniform size. He'll cut 10 pieces of meat in a row.
And then no silverware.
And then I said to him, you know how most people, now I've got my back to Broyhill. I'm facing the, because this guy's sitting on my left side, Broyhill's on my right. I said, you know, most people, you take a knife or a spoon, and the move is like this, where there's a little bit, it's almost like you're making a faggy motion with your hand.
You just scoop something up, and you gently, deftly put it in your mouth.
Yes, you ladle it into your mouth. I said, with Broyhill, it's much more mechanical, much more, you know, think Fred Flintstone operating the dinosaur.
It's the hand in a position like one would accelerate a motorcycle.
Right. And it's there's two motions. It's spear the food, then bring it directly to eye level.
And into mouth.
Into mouth.
Three distinct motions.
Yes.
Spear, lift, shovel.
Shovel, right. Spear, lift, shovel.
Right.
So it's taken this guy a while, but eventually he gets it.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you know, wow, hey, the light bulb goes off, and I see him. He looks at me and goes, it's good. That's good. Now, and again, you know, listen, I'm doing this because at this point I'm looking for anything that's going to make me look like less of an idiot than I am for bleeding all over the place.
Take away from the bleeding lip.
And I'm thinking about it later. I'm thinking these guys that were in the meeting with us, they got to think we're the biggest bunch of losers in the world because first I bleed all over the place, and then you got Broyhillers over there eating like an animal.
Right, right. They see him, you know, the zoo creature, and you, the hemophiliac, sitting at the table.
But one by one, all the people who are not involved with the radio station, I saw the Broyhill story go around the table.
Oh, good.
And now this is as regular conversation is still continuing, right? It's like one by one I see, you know, they'll lean over and they go, and they'll look over at this guy and they'll look at me, and then I'll see them look at Broyhill, and it takes them, and the more it went around the table, the shorter amount of time it took for them to realize why it was funny to watch Charlie Broyhill eat something that we've enjoyed for years.
Oh, that we've actually gotten accustomed to. It's not a big deal. I mean, we see that he eats like that. You know, it's just like, mouth open, chomp.
You're right. The food, it's spear, lift, shovel. That's how he eats.
It's like a steam shovel.
So he gets done with his food, and at that point, I think that the fun is over, right? It's just going to be back to the boring meeting. Well, then the restaurant guy comes in, and he says, hey, we have desserts. I want everyone to share in some desserts. And as the guy is bringing all of these various desserts in, I know Broyhill. You know, they're bringing in these desserts, and you're supposed to share them.
Right.
He said, like, we've got whatever this one is. Gives everybody
finger-sized.
Yeah, he gives everybody a spoon. Well, he brings in this this apple pie with ice cream on it.
Ah.
And I know right away.
Right, it's gone.
I know this is Broyhill, right? Mm-hmm. So I say to the guy next to me, I say, hey, listen, you want some fun? And he says, yeah. And I said, how much you want to bet Charles Broyhill goes for that apple pie, doesn't share it with anybody, and he'll do it within 60 seconds.
Right.
And the guy says to me, you mean the guy who eats funny? I said, yeah, just watch. And the guy actually looks down at his watch and says, go. And 54 seconds later, Broyhill, like stalking his prey, he's waiting. They bring out all this crap, like a chocolate mousse cake.
Right.
And they bring out cheesecake, these little sample things. And sitting in the middle of the table is this piece of hot apple pie with ice cream.
Broyhill, the simplest dessert on the table.
He waits 54 seconds, and then he simply leans over to the middle of the table, grabs the bowl, puts it in front of himself, and that's when the eating show begins again.
Right on cue.
When again it's spear and lift, shovel.
He likes his food.
Oh, it was great. It was that's the only thing that made the meeting worthwhile for me.
Now, did Charles do any speaking at all at the meeting?
Yes, he had some limited speaking opportunities.
Me like pie. Me like ice cream and pie. Pie good, hot. Hot pie, good.
But he did the
spear, lift, shovel.
He did all right last night.
Spear, lift, shovel.
I sure am glad to be out of that environment, though. I mean, thank God, you know, to be up here today with you guys. Just
you weren't looking forward to it prior to your departure. I know you.
No, Jesus
that's
Christ!
That's one element of the job that you don't like.
No, and then I was looking forward today. Now, listen, we did not get a show from Buzz Burbank at the airport.
Not today.
We did not get the Buzz show today. Buzz arrived later than normal, and as it turns out, Buzz did nothing out of the ordinary to put on a show for him.
Well, he's extremely careful now because he doesn't want to be mocked, so he's not going to really do anything that's going to draw attention.
Traveling
to
incognito, posing as a normal person.
Right. But in fact, we do have a story from the airplane today, and this is a great story. Yeah. This is just beautiful. We're on the plane, ready to take the shuttle up here to New York, the Delta shuttle, and the weather back at home, back in D.C., it's sunny and it's about 90. And I watched Channel 4 in New York today, and they said it's going to be, before I left the house today, and they said it's going to be a cloudy high about 85 in New York City.
Yeah, a little humid.
So we get on the airplane, and it's filling up. It's rapidly filling up, and it's very crowded. And all of a sudden, the guy comes on, Johnny Aloha. This guy is a flying Hawaiian.
Johnny Aloha.
This guy, our male waitress, right? The male stewardess.
Hey, how you doing? Tiny Bubbles.
This guy. Yes, right.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he was a homo.
No.
But he was the happiest male flight attendant I've ever seen in my life.
Loving his job?
He loved his job. He loved greeting people as they got on the airplane. Mm-hmm. He loved making the announcements.
Very good. Hey, Hawaii.
Big smile on his face, all this jazz. So he gets on and he makes the announcement. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. It's Johnny Aloha up here at the bulkhead of the plane. Well, we've been told that there's some issues flying into New York today. We, of course, are going to back away from the gate,
as we always do to maintain our on-time record.
Yeah,
right?
And then he says, so we're going to back away from the gate to maintain on-time departure.
Right.
However, you should know that there's a chance that we will be sitting on the tarmac for approximately 2 hours.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, oh my God, what was the groan like when he said that?
Oh, it is palatable. And
that is so screwing the customer.
And he says, so at this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that you do not want to wait 2 hours sitting on the tarmac, we advise you to gather your belongings and leave. But you only have 1 minute, because I'm going to be closing the door in 1 minute. Thank you for flying Delta Airlines. Now,
so he really, in his nice, friendly way, is explaining to you that you're completely totally screwed.
You're out. Now, and at this point, panic sets in on this airplane because people start grabbing their bags. People are coming up front and they're asking him questions. Like they're going, Johnny Aloha, I checked my bags. What do I do? Well, I'd say you should get off the plane right now and then we'll try to find your bags.
We'll try to take care of that for you, ma'am. Have some macadamia now.
Johnny Aloha. Johnny Aloha. Listen, I have a... What was the one guy thing with his... With his ticket, Rob?
I have a restricted ticket. How will this affect me?
Right. I mean, people are standing up at the front of the plane, and they're screaming, and they're flipping out.
Right.
And people are wanting to get off the airplane to go see if they can get another flight and get back on the airplane. And he's saying, no, if you get off the airplane, you're off the airplane.
Right. That's it.
You're off the airplane. And so then this one guy who says he's got the restricted ticket, he says, I just need 60 seconds. Let me get off the plane for 60 seconds. I'll come right back and I'll tell you if I'm staying or if I'm going. So finally, Johnny Aloha breaks down and he says, okay, you have 60 seconds. And as the door opens and the guy gets off, Rob and I say almost at the same time, hey, start the clock. start counting. Because we're not going anywhere.
No. Right.
And we figure, hey, why should this prick be able to get on and off the plane?
Well, yeah, technically he's holding up the whole plane. But if they're going to be on the tarmac for 2 hours, but they weren't, obviously.
So as it turns out, this guy did get back within 60 seconds to announce that he wanted to get off the plane.
Ah.
So he and about maybe 40 or 50 other people.
So he wanted to make sure, though, in his total selfishness, that it was okay for him to get off the plane.
So now there's maybe, I think this plane holds about 130 people, and I'd say 50 of them, you know, roughly more than a quarter of them, get up and leave.
Right.
So they all leave, they get out, they get their bags, they shut the door, we pull out of the tarmac, and we are on the tarmac no more than 60 seconds when the captain comes on and goes, ladies and gentlemen, I got great news. We have just been cleared for immediate takeoff.
Yay!
Everybody.
Hey, you're all golden boys today.
Everybody on the plane breaks into spontaneous applause. And all of a sudden, everybody on the plane says, hey, what about the people who got off?
Suckers. Really, to the privileged few.
Suckers.
And then they're waiting for the next shuttle plane that'll be delayed because of weather.
Oh, it was, you know, we were pissed off for a while. Yeah. Then we were happy. And as we were taxiing to take off, we get right to the edge of the runway and the plane stops.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, oh, Christ, what is it now? And the pilot gets on and he says, ladies and gentlemen, no problems from the tower, no problems with the air traffic control. You will notice to the left of the aircraft that you will see some F-16 bombers that are flying by right now. We have to wait until they vacate the airspace, but it's a nice thing for you to look at on the left side of the airplane right now. Well, Rob and I are sitting on the right side, and again, we both at the top of our lungs, we go, wow,
look at that.
Look at those planes. Those are great planes. And lots of people are now looking out the right side of the airplane.
The sheep effect.
Even though these jets, whatever they were flying by, were they F-16s?
Right.
These F-16s.
Fighter pilots.
Yeah, they're coming out.
Fighter jocks.
The left side. And while all of this is going on, they have this. Rob and I always make sure that we push our way to the front of the line,
right?
So that we're the first guys on the airplane. We're sitting in the very front row, the bulkhead on this Delta shuttle. They have the advertisements there,
right?
Where it says for frequent flyers, you know, you get a credit card. And well, Rob has now taken to graffitiing up these come-ons that they have in these packets in front of you, and on one of them he wrote, great for simpletons. If you're an idiot, sign up for this card. This card is worthless. This
airline. What's that little piece of paper they put in the little frame in front? Yeah. The folder, right?
Yes.
If you're an idiot.
And he said, that the one he wrote today was simpletons.
Yeah.
Calling all simpletons. And at one point, Johnny Aloha,
hey,
the male stewardess, he comes by and he sees it. And he looks at it and he goes, hey, that's good.
Hey, there
you
go.
And he walks right on by.
Guy likes his job.
Right attitude.
So he was pretty cool. So, you know, who was the news guy who we thought was on the flight who walked off?
Bob Schieffer.
Yeah.
Was it Bob Schieffer?
Bob Schieffer from CBS News. He was one of them who decided he was too important to wait, that he had to get off the plane.
Bob Schieffer, a little long in the tooth, I would imagine.
Go, Bob.
How's he? Go, Bob, on my knob. Ass munch.
On my knob. Ass munch.
How is Bob Schieffer looking today?
Not well.
You know, speaking of news guys you bumped into, I did see Roger Kosick today in the hotel room. I was watching, and he
was in your hotel room?
Yeah, yes, he was in alone with me drinking. No, he was on the air on CNN with Greta Van Susteren.
Oh, with the girl with the clutch car.
They're both still hosting that show, and, you know, he looked relatively fresh.
Right.
But, I mean, I think he's off air by the time we sign on.
Yeah, well, there was no word in the office today that Roger Kosick had tried to call to secure his position on the show as he so desperately wanted two nights ago.
It's amazing how the morning after a big event you can come around like that.
Yeah.
He's still welcome, though.
It's never happened to me.
So what happened with the ditch bitch?
Oh,
and I don't mean that like, no, I mean the appliance, not your wife. The appliance,
not my wife, no.
The appliance, the ditch bitch.
The ditch witch, which she got.
Is it ditch witch or ditch bitch?
It's ditch witch.
Ditch bitch. Ask Rob. I've been calling it the ditch bitch all day.
No.
I really have.
I think it's a, I don't even, you know, because I haven't seen it, and it arrived today. When I called my wife, she was using a ditch witch to trench, you know, it's the thing that they use for laying conduit for pipe. I mean, laying pipe for electrical cords and doing all. Excuse me.
Laying pipe.
I am having trouble concentrating.
Oh, you guys on the phone?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Here we go.
That's it.
Welcome to New York.
It was small, but it was violent.
Gotcha.
It smells like turkey.
Like the turkey?
Like to thank the Ben Ash Deli. Oh, that's Egars.com. They still sponsor our farce. They re-upped on that deal, incidentally.
Oh, they did.
www.egars.com.
Well, yeah, I just couldn't really concentrate until that just crept out.
So the ditch bitch.
The ditch witch is... Don't say that. You're going to get me in trouble because she'll hear it wrong.
No, that is not...
So do not say ditch bitch because she doesn't like that word. She doesn't like that word at all. I mean, I will really get in trouble.
I am not inferring your wife when I say
I understand.
Ditch bitch.
But the ditch witch is this machine. I guess it's a machine that digs a trench. And she, when I called her, she was I was instructing her where I wanted the trenches in the yard. And because...
Oh, well, the telephone you were?
Yeah. I was calling her from my comfortable train seat. And and the train today, 10 minutes early today. I got in...
F you.
10 minutes
That's
early.
Very nice.
It was terrific. I got my routine, and it was fun. So I called her, and she's digging a trench down to the back of the yard where she's going to run, I think it's called conduit.
Right.
Where you put the wire in there, and then you get an electrician to come out. And so then I was saying, well, you know, there's some drainage tile for draining the lot where it's kind of surfaced, and you can see the drain tile up there, and it's got a hole in it. And I was wondering if you could dig the trench down a little further. And she was saying, I'm having a little trouble. And I said, why are you having trouble? She said, well, it's really a difficult piece of equipment to maneuver. I said, you built a retaining wall. you can handle this. You can handle this without
any real... You drove the Bobcat.
You drove the Bobcat, and apparently the machine is, about the same size that she is. So it's difficult. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's made for, say, a 5'6", 5'7", minimum construction worker to stand. You know, like, it would be...
Your wife is very tiny.
I would equate it with a construction worker using a jackhammer, and then giving it to Laura to use a jackhammer. She'd have the jackhammer with her hands up here, and really like the bar of the thing at nose level. So she said that she was having a tough time getting it started, getting the trench started.
Nonsense. Make it so.
I told her that. I said, you know, if you're going to do these type of things and do them well, you have to stick with it. And, I just finished my Egg McMuffin, and, I said, I'm on my way to my fancy hotel room in New York City, but good luck with the ditch witch. And she said, if I have time, I'll do that area you wanted me to trench. And that's why I paused.
Yeah.
And my pause spoke volumes there, saying, I'm not, that wasn't just a request.
That was
a direct order. Because really, now that she's going, I no longer am hiring anyone at all to work in the yard for anything whatsoever. Anything that is...
As little Tom would say, why hire the Mexicans, Mike, when you've got your wife?
I will tell you right now, there are certain skilled individuals, electricians, plumbers, that, I don't expect her to pick up the slack there. But right now, if it's the type of thing that you can hire
physical,
a day laborer for...
Physical day labor.
I think that she is more than capable of doing it. She's demonstrated that she's losing a lot of weight because she's not eating regularly because she's out in the yard all the time, and she looks really good. And I said, that's positive. She's looking good because she's doing this, and she's working, and she seems to be happy.
Win-win-win.
If she's not happy, she's not telling me. If she's unhappy, she's not telling me. And I think that she's doing very, very well. What I have to do now is I have to start sweat. You bet. And it's hot out there today.
Yeah. I know. It's like 85, 90 degrees.
Well, I said to her, I was aware that she was going to be working out in the yard doing that. I said, don't go more than 3-4 hours, without stopping in the house for maybe a glass of water. You don't want to dehydrate.
It's nice of you. You said that to her as you were on your cell phone on the train.
Yeah, as I was sipping.
Watching your DVD player.
That she bought me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Watch Traffic today. Good movie. That movie with Michael
Douglas. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, very good movie. And, I have that that little DVD thing now on the train. So I get on the train. I have my my one carry-on that I wheel along, and it's got the...
Is that your fag bag?
Yeah. It's well, you've seen it. You see that I have that bag up on top, and that's got...
That's the fag bag.
Well, it is, in a way, because it's got all my my stuff that I really don't...
It's like your purse.
It's got all the stuff that's really not necessary. I get on that train, and I look around me at the business people. And they cracked me up with their laptops, you know, like the guy today that was editing some big Defense Department thing and elbowing me, you know, a little bit. That was on the commuter train that I took to the main train station.
Right.
You know, and that's the only part of this trip that I really hate, because you're sandwiched in there with all the people that are doing real work.
Sharing the train with the common working man.
Oh, it's just, you know, when I get on the regular train to come up to New York, I have the seat to myself. So when I get on the little, here's what I do, Rob. Let me tell you. Now, hold on a second.
What do you do?
You know, you're acting like I think I'm better than most people, and that's not necessarily true.
No, not at all.
It's not true all the time. I get on the commuter train, which is the train that I take to the main train station to come up here.
Yes.
And I get on there, and I walked to the very last train car.
Wow.
And I walked very close to the last seat of the very last train car for one reason and one reason only. I want to be in the very last possible seat that some mook is going to come and take and sit down, because I don't like my ass rubbing against somebody else's ass. And so this old man today, if I can complain, because this is not a Golden Boy story, if I can complain for
really, one... Oh, really? Something bad happened to you?
Well, this... No, not really, but...
Relatively speaking, for you,
me,
bad?
It was a huge crisis, okay?
Okay. All right, okay.
I mean, I was really pissed at this guy, because I think I know why he did it. They have signs on this little VRE, Virginia Railway Express commuter train, the signs that are like, be polite, VRE tomorrow, VRE tomorrow. They have little signs about being courteous and being polite and giving up your seat, you know, wow, making wow. sure you don't hog the seat. You know, I don't need to be told that like in kindergarten.
They need a seat for you and a seat for your scepter.
Well, what I really would like, if I didn't have to worry about the
seat
other
for your crown,
the other commuters, you know, that all get off at the same stop.
Seat for your L.L. Bean bag, your fag bag.
I love my bag.
The transsexual bag.
I love my bag. Come on now. It's not like I have any of those Mike Douglas asterisks on it or anything like that. You know, it's a plain earth tone, and I'm very fond of it. So I get on... And today, I really think about it today. I still haven't aced the system where to maximize the potential that I will have the two seats to myself. So I go all the way to the back, and in front of me, I see there is a single, and there's another single. So before he gets to me, there are, you know, other seats. So we get to the last stop before we're going to get to the station. So I actually think if I can make it through this stop, I will have had a commuter train experience free of anybody sitting next to me, which
Golden
really
boy.
Makes me happy.
Right.
So I proceed to take my Washington Post and I set it on the seat next to me. I put down my cell phone down there. I put my sunglasses down there. And it's really what that is saying.
Meanwhile, you know, compare it to us. Let me just tell you what our trip to New York is like. Yeah. Run the movie Schindler's List sometime. Serious. Yeah. Serious. When they put all the Jews on the trains.
Mm-hmm. You know, let me tell you something.
That's
right.
What the Delta shuttle's like.
I will,
compared to what I'm hearing from you.
I think you may be overstating it just a little bit, but let me tell you, you all have the option to do the train, and I recommend it highly, because once I get on Amtrak, I have very few bad things. I've had one bad experience all year on Amtrak, and that was because another train broke down, but it was okay. But this commuter train is a pain, because they just sandwich you on there. And I'm looking in front of me.
Yeah, I share your pain.
I'm looking in front of me.
Poor guy, I had to be on there with real working people.
And there was, well, they're all so busy.
They're great on one. You got their suits on and stuff like that. And it's just, God, leave me alone.
And God forbid you sit next to the two-on-two, where you have the two seats that face each other. And you get Clem, and Clem that all have to have their big powwow before the office meeting. And I shut the F up. So I'm sitting there, and this old man.
It's not easy being you, is it?
Well, you know, frankly, this gentleman looked like maybe he should have been out of the workforce a good 10, 15 years ago. In my humble opinion, he should really be at some retirement place, you know, counting the days till it's time to go to the Pond Box Land.
And one of my camps.
One of your leisure camps.
My leisure camps.
So he comes on, and I advertise by putting the paper down, the sunglasses, the cell phone. I am saying non-verbally, this seat is taken. And there's a thin guy, rail thin, sitting right in front of me, directly in front of me, that is... You know, he'd have more elbow room, because, as you know, I am not a petite man. And he comes up and he noodles it
really?
Through. And I'm looking, I'm pretending I'm reading the paper, but I'm totally aware, like everybody is on those commuter trains.
Right.
I'm looking up and I'm looking down and I'm looking up and I'm looking down. And then he makes his decision that he's going to take the very last seat, and he plunks down
next to me.
And I try not to be totally rude. Now, on the train going back home tomorrow night, that's when it's just not accepted. I will defend it to the death. Somebody comes out and wants to sit next to me, and there are other seats around, I will go. And usually that gets them to move away. So the guy sits down, whips out his briefcase.
You are the pampered chef. You really are.
He whips out his briefcase, and he starts pulling out all this paper. And I'm kind of looking over his shoulder. And he's a righty. You know, he's writing right-handed. And he's got the flying elbow going. And I got for about half an hour of this little commute, I got the flying elbow in my ribs to the extent where I'm tolerating it because it's just brushing by me. But every time it gets under the old ribs there, I'm just kind of going, and we finally get to the second to last stop, and everybody at that point, the second to last stop is where the bulk of the people get off the train. There are empty seats around. Now, this is etiquette. Now, I am right about this. When you're on that train and you have the empty seats, the thing to do is once some seats free up, you get up and you get your own seat and you enjoy yourself. Well, no, you know, I've got Bob Barker here wants to sit next to me. I guess right. I guess he wants to follow me into the men's room or something like that. But he sits and he says, Are you getting off at this stop? Second to last stop, because everybody was. I said, no, I'm going all the way. He goes, oh. And then he just sits back and relaxes. And I'm like, buddy, get out of the effing seat. Move away. And finally, that's when the flying elbow got down to the bottom of the paper. He's doing some kind of editing, like he's editing a report. And that's when it's going. If I sat like this, I said, and then I'm just like a huffy old woman.
Trying to watch my movie and order my wife to use the ditch witch.
I'm trying
to keep my sunglasses.
Now, that's the part of the trip where I actually behave like a businessman. Yeah. I read the newspaper. I read the morning paper like so many of the businessmen are doing.
So you pretend like you're a work guy?
It's when I get on the train that I am advertising the fact that I am just an idiot. As everybody pulls out their laptops and starts analyzing their legal briefs and their financial stuff, and I pull out my movie, you know, and start watching my movie.
Do you wear big headphones?
Yeah. I do.
Oh, of course you got. That's why you have the fag bag.
I'll take you through the whole routine. I go into my bag. I take out my Tempur-Pedic neck pillow. I put it around my neck.
Listen, this is not a joke. No, I'm not lying. This thing is like a hemorrhoidal thing.
These are purchases. Let me tell you something.
He looks like the biggest queer in the world when he puts this thing on.
These are purchases that I swear by. These make traveling. With the traveling we've done, I think we all have our little systems, right? Well, let me tell you, I've honed it. I have refined it. I don't care if I look like a fag.
You do.
I put this thing on, and then I put my headphones on. I sit down in the train seat. I put both trays down, one for my Egg McMuffin and my Diet Coke, the other one for my DVD player. I put my New York Post and New York Daily News on the seat next to me. I put my bag under my feet. And then I put on my movie. And then I watch my movie. I read the Post first, but then I set up my movie later.
And meanwhile, we're standing in line to go to the gas chamber.
Oh, no. At National Airport. I recommend you guys try the train once. Because really, we'd have a good time.
I don't know. Frankly, I don't want to carry the fag bag. I don't want to wear the pillow around
my neck. Your carry-on anyway. There's no difference. The fag bag sits atop my L.L. Bean suitcase, and it straps on to the handle, giving me one convenient piece of two-bag carry-on luggage.
Wow.
And
can the golden boy shine again?
You know, though, I did see one thing. The little Panasonic DVD player that I have.
Yeah.
It's got a smaller screen than the one I saw in one of the stores on.
You have to upgrade that.
Because it's got a bigger screen.
You have to upgrade. Wow. We got a break.
And you know, and the train was so early, I didn't get a chance to finish my movie.
Oh my
God, damn it! That's rough.
I'm sorry you had such a hard time getting up here today.
I'm exhausted.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. You know, sometimes these commutes are very, very stressful.
I know they are.
And then I saw my guy at Penn Station, though. Guy charges you a little extra so you don't have to wait in line.
Yeah.
He sees me coming, doesn't he?
He's not making that up either.
No, it's true.
Why walk to the hotel or why take the regular cab, pay the guy $25 to make sure that he's there for you?
Sure. You're spending $15 more, but it is a phenomenal convenience.
Okay. let's clear the lines right now.
Yeah, it's the difference between a yellow cab and a town car.
You know what? Really, you know, I don't want to get you. I want to get you, like, you know those crowns the kids get at Burger King on their birthday?
Right.
I really would like to get you a crown. Maybe just start wearing a crown around.
I will.
Would you do it?
I will, but I don't want a Burger King crown.
No, like the margarine crown.
No, yeah, right. Like
you want to get something for me, you go get Masters of the Costume.
Okay.
Give me a real crown.
Can we get you a real crown? How about a scepter?
I'll wear the crown the day I shave my head.
Okay. Deal. All right. Deal.
Okay.
Thank you.
Beautiful. That'll be the deal.
Clear the lines now. Let's get a call. 100 prize pack. Selected for you, chance to win a big screen color TV. We're giving away on tomorrow's episode.
I love you, honey.
Phone number is 877-365-3636.
Keep laboring.
We will be right back. Call 100 now.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and Mike Show.
My dear, you know absolutely nothing about prices. Thank you for being on The Price is Right. We are going to have our first showcase showdown after we show you this.
America's premier sex jesters, Don and Mike.
Mike, you don't have to slip me a note from the Village Voice.
I saw the ad, and I was hoping you wouldn't see me sliding that over there.
You know what's sad is that I saw it, I was going to give it to you, too.
We can go together.
Are you drinking too much? Volunteers needed for research study.
There you go. You know, the only thing we'd have to call it as is, do we get it for free?
We'll call him in a second. Out of the Village Voice.
Sure.
Listen, call 100 time right now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm a 100th caller.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina. Where are you from?
I'm from Winchester.
Honey, you want a Frappuccino a day for a month from Starbucks.
Starbucks.
Along with the Starbucks travel mug. But wait, there's more. You also won the WWF King of the Ring prize pack, courtesy of the WWF. And you won the widescreen personal organizer, courtesy of Graffiti Audio Video. But wait, there's still more for you, Sabrina. You've qualified for our weekly giveaway tomorrow. Someone who's won a prize this week on the show wins a 36-inch big-screen Panasonic TV from Graffiti Audio Video.
Right.
Four locations, Graffiti Audio Video, always overstocked, never undersold. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Sabrina, thank you. Hold on just a second, please. Well, obviously, Pete Diddy got the telephones working.
It sounds better. The whole room sounds better right now. Yep. And good job, Pete Johnson.
That is the magic of Pete Diddy. He will be joining us in just a moment.
Pete Diddy.
For the segment today, we're calling Ask Pete.
Ask Pete. Fantastic.
But there were a couple of different things we could do with Pete today. First, we could have him do some of our wacky interviews.
Right.
Might save that for another time. I think the listeners have shown that they love Pete.
They do. Well, and I think it's, you know, for people that want to ask Pete a question and then really feel good about themselves. Because I'm sure that...
What, were you in the writing meeting today?
Okay, I just think it's a great idea.
Then you should have been, because that person, you know what's going to happen. Pete will answer, and then we will...
Fresh magic markers, please.
We will help him with our scripted responses for him for Ask P. Diddy.
Diddy.
Hold on, before we get to P. Diddy,
yeah.
We got two other things here. Oh, and we have tomorrow we have a mystery guest. Today is not a mystery guest, was it? Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rob. Tonight on, tomorrow's a mystery guest.
Yes.
Today we have someone coming on the show in about a half hour who's not really a mystery guest, but I'm not going to tell you who it is yet.
Okay.
Tonight on A&E, they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel for biography.
Oh, really? Who do they have?
Well, I thought last night they hit absolute rock bottom with Reginald Van...
Val Johnson.
Val Johnson, the guy who was the dad on the Urkel show.
Oh, my God.
You know, the guy who was in the Bruce Willis movie, Die Hard 2.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
The fat black guy.
Right. Doesn't he do commercials, too? He does phone commercials. Right.
Yeah. Well, no. And as a matter of fact, they hit even lower.
Didn't we interview him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, all right, okay.
Didn't we think that maybe he...
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think he might have played both sides.
He might have a fag bag.
Might have actually only played one side.
Tonight, though, A&E has really hit a low because it's the Dick Van Tatten biography.
Fantastic.
All right. That's right. Tonight, Dick Van Tatten.
There's a picture of Dick in the promotional material. So that looks like he was big in the 20s.
It says Dick Van Tatten seems to be a nice guy, but his biography... is not fascinating.
Well, good viewing then.
And they only give it a C- in this entertainment magazine. But tonight, as a matter of fact, on the A&E channel, they hit an all-time low when they do a biography of Dick Van Patten.
Well, you say. Our good friend Dick Van Patten, who has great energy and great wit.
Let's call him up.
VP, DVP. Father of Nels, Vincent.
And Tito.
Who's the other one? I always forget.
Nels,
Vince
Van Patten, Nels
Jimmy.
Van Patten, Jimmy Van Patten.
Jimmy Van Patten.
Little Jimmy.
Is there a female Van Patten? Is there a Van Patten daughter?
No, but there's a wife.
There's Pat.
Yeah. Pat Van Patten.
Pat Van Patten.
Oh, sister Joyce Van Patten, right?
And brother Tim, who directs The Sopranos.
Right.
Yeah, the only real successful Van Patten.
He may not be important, but we know a lot about him.
We do. We're pathetic.
Now, he usually has an answering machine.
Yep, there it is.
Hi, this is Dick and Pat with a joke of the week. My wife loves to shop so much that when we make love, her favorite position is facing Bloomingdale's.
Hey, Dick. It's Don and Mike.
Hi, Dick. How are you? We're calling because we see your biography is going to be on tonight.
Congratulations for the appearance tonight on A&E. Rob, you really like that joke?
No, Rob loved your joke. He's practically falling on the floor.
Congratulations tonight. We were just wondering if by any chance, if you mentioned us during your interview tonight on A&E.
Since we feel we've played a large part in the second half of your
career.
At
our best, we were trying to name as many Van Pattens as we could. We have Nels, Vince,
Jimmy,
your wife,
Pat,
your sister, Joy,
Tim, the director,
your brother, Tim, who directs The Sopranos.
Right. And then the ancestor, Baron Von Patten.
Anyway, congratulations on all your continued success.
Yeah. Dick, we really haven't heard from you live in a while, and we're wondering if you could call us because we miss you.
All right. Goodbye, Dick.
We never give him a number.
I will.
You know, he doesn't have that thing.
Is this recording?
He doesn't have that thing where we can hear our messages.
Is this recording?
Dick?
Thank you for calling.
Okay. Oh, that's it.
Thank you for calling.
Answering machine done by Ryder.
Play a game.
What I was laughing at is the thought of him having sex.
Yes.
That's what was funny.
Yeah, I bet Dom DeLuise loves it when he calls Dick's house.
All right, how about the number that you did pull out of the Village Voice?
Let's find out. And my main question, what does it say again on that?
Are you drinking too much?
And they want volunteers for a free research study, and I would be curious if they get free booze.
Unless it's something where they want you to stop drinking.
Please.
Stop.
Don't be foolish.
Okay, well, I don't know.
And I saw something for you in a gift shop today.
What's that?
You have reached Bronx Veteran Affairs Medical Center. If you have a touch-tone phone...
I got the extension.
...for your party's four-digit extension number, uh-huh, please dial it now.
Please hold on while I try that extension.
What did you see for me?
Great Grey Goose gift pack.
On the line. We'll be with you momentarily.
Thanks.
Yes, hello. Is this about are you drinking too much?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. We're live on the air right now on WNEW and a whole bunch of stations throughout America.
How are you today, sir?
I'm good.
Well, frankly, I don't want to drop any names.
Well, neither do I.
Mike O'Mara.
Don Geronimo.
But I'm afraid I do know someone who drinks too much.
Hi.
Okay.
And
I have a question about this research study.
It's never really bothered his work ethic.
I think I'd be described, and you would too, as high-functioning. We're very high-functioning.
Well, listen, we do have some questions, though, about the... We read this in the Village Voice. Are you drinking too much?
Yeah, and what does the research study involve? Do you get free samples?
Well, it's a 12-week-long program that we're offering medication along with group therapy.
Oh.
Is there any free booze?
No.
So this is designed to make you stop drinking altogether.
Or to help you for treatment.
Oh, we're not interested in that. No.
We thought it was just you were going to observe people drinking.
No. It's a treatment study.
I was going to say, if you were going to observe people, my vodka of choice is Grey Goose, only top shelf stuff.
And I drink Jameson's Irish whiskey. So I guess this wouldn't be for that type of thing.
Would
you have any other extensions there at the hospital?
For someone who is drinking too much but doesn't feel that it's bothering them?
Not that I know of at the hospital here.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, so it's to make people stop.
Right. Or help them treat it.
So I guess you would put us in the well category then, right? I mean, if you were going to diagnose us now,
how do we sound?
good.
Is there anybody there that would be interested, you think, in watching his drink?
Not at my office right now. No.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
We're pretty entertaining when we go out and have dinner and have a drink with dinner.
Yeah.
Good.
One of us actually occasionally turns in a little earlier. The other one, you could get. I mean, as far as a research study, you could probably knock out a whole week's worth in some one evening.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah. All right.
I think right now I'm probably blowing a 2.6 right now. I don't know if you can tell it or not, but I'm bombed out of my mind right now.
I can smell it from here.
There we go. Okay. So if we're ever interested in quitting, though, this might be a number we want to revisit.
Right.
But if you ever need someone, if you ever just want to watch people who enjoy drinking.
Habitual drinkers.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Remember the names Don and Mike.
You've been very, very nice.
That's great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You made a friend.
Bye-bye. A mosquito just bit me and passed out.
All right, well, how about that? They aren't looking for people who are drinking too much.
Good luck.
Well, yeah. People want to quit.
You know, here they are. Do you drink? Are you drinking too much? And I immediately, you know, that's an ad that jumps off the page.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And then they, you know, do this whole thing about, well, we're going to give you medication.
Please.
God, it's all about medication. We have medication.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Got a message for them.
Okay. Oh, you got another one? Okay. Here we go.
They had a medicine for that.
Wow. There we go. No, they don't.
Thank you. www.egars.com.
Man, I tell you, only in New York can you get the real roast turkey.
Yeah. The hottest cigar stuff on the planet. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Jerry Seinfeld here asking, what is the deal with bum rushing? Where's the bum? What's the rush and why would a bum be in a hurry?
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
He's not himself.
Good luck on that comeback.
Well, I just started drinking.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don?
Yeah, Don and Mike. Hi.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Buzz. How are you? Al Bundy, Sacramento. I was wondering if you caught Kathy Lee on Hollywood Squares last night.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, there she goes.
Hold on. Let me see if I can guess, though, because you know there is actually a real status with where you are on the board.
I'll tell you where I bet she was. You want to go first?
Well, no, you can go first.
I'll go first. She's the bottom center.
Incorrect.
I'm going to guess upper left.
Correct.
Way to go. Wow. You the man.
And I don't watch Hollywood Squares. I swear to God.
But I came into your arena, and I was completely vanquished, and there's no surprise.
It was
there.
Just a guess, Mike.
But no, it was. Damn it, it was an educated guess.
You got your middle, which is your Whoopi, your Paul Lynde. Mm-hmm. You got your lower left, which is the next best
right
to the middle, and then the next best square is upper left.
Upper left, occupied by Jim J. Buttock.
She didn't get called on once.
Really?
Oh!
That's the IQ factor.
That's fantastic. You know what I love it? I love it when on Hollywood Squares, when they're playing a cats game, uh-huh, when it ends up when no one can win,
right,
and there's one celebrity who's left, and they go, well, no one can win, but for someone to win this cats game, someone has to pick Carrot Top. you always have the one left that they hate the most.
Right. Carrot Top in his never-ending quest to get enough plastic surgery to look like Reba McEntire.
the current incarnation, though, I think the feeblest, the worst celeb that they have, when I've watched the show, is her name Caroline Ray? Is that her name?
Yeah. You see the one that was on the Teenage Witch?
Yes.
Oh, and she. Don't you remember we were out of Television City and maybe, I don't know if I was with you, but she is just super tight with Whoopi Goldberg. That is why she's on that show. She's constantly ass-kissing Whoopi Goldberg.
She does have some major jugs, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, she's got that. Some, you know, some big bits. Hello. Don and Mike.
It always comes back to that.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Doug. Hi, how are you?
Dougie.
Hey, Dougie. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike, please.
Yes, it's us. Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
That's good. Hey, I wanted to say, you know, you can't classify an alcoholic if he gets up and goes to work every day and takes care of his children.
Listen to this guy is already like in the bag.
Thank you, my friend.
You should know, sir.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
I take care of my kid. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, it's Matt Lauer. Where in the world am I?
Get out of here, bitch.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Timely.
Star-studded today.
Hello. Guys.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, you were killing me, Don, with that story with the napkin splitting your lip. I just had a little follow-up on that.
I was getting ready to meet my girlfriend's parents for the first time, and you know, wanted to look good. We were going out to a nice dinner, had the tie, the whole nine yards on. And I saw this nose hair. And I didn't have like one of those nose weasels where you go up there and clean it out.
I've been there. I know what you're talking about.
I took a Mach 3, and I don't know if it was the first.
Oh, no, see, I didn't see that guy. I thought you was going to pull it.
You took, like, a razor that you cut your, that you're supposed to shave with?
It was just a little nose hair, and I just flipped it.
Oh.
It looked like someone had cut my throat. I had blood everywhere.
Oh, Jesus, what is that?
So don't do that.
No, that's real dumb.
I wouldn't do that.
Because you got to do that kind of slicing motion no matter what the size.
A Mach 3.
Jesus Christ. I thought he was going to go for the deep pull and maybe he ruptured a vessel.
Yeah. That next time, try a lighter.
Have you ever done that? I mean, do you ever just yank them out? Like, if you see
them? Yeah.
It makes you
cry. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? You know what I do have? I do have one of those fancy nose hair trimmers.
Remington Hygienic trimmer for the safe, precise removal of surgical nose and ear hair.
But when I put it in there, when it gets going, it's the same smell as with an electric train set when I was a kid.
Yes,
I mean, it's exactly the exact same smell as the electric train set when you're a kid.
Oh, it's an electric train set covered with snot.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Gomez
I
Adams.
I went to your guys' website the other day. Nice pictures for the manhole deal.
Oh, you went to DonandMikeFans.com?
Yes, I did. Boy, you two are a couple of goofy-looking bastards.
You know, I was looking at that picture, man. You are absolutely right.
Hey, listen, why don't you send us your picture there, Fabi, okay?
No, that's all right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot. See ya.
Thank you.
I was looking at that picture when I had the ketchup on my forehead, and I was really surprised. I've aged a bit.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Super Jock and Omera.
Hi.
How's it going today, guys?
Great, thank you.
Hey, Golden Boy.
Yeah?
Quick question for you. On the train, would it have been too much effort to, like, you know, get up and get a seat yourself, or what's the deal?
Well, no, I mean, what the deal was, I was explaining to you that there were only single seats available next to somebody. So if I got up, it would have been, and the guy was sitting on the outside of me. So I eventually did get up and move to another seat. So in answer to your question, I did that. But when he sat down, there were other options for him to sit next to somebody else. That was my main issue, okay? You disrespectful prick.
Oh, come on now, Golden Boy.
Right. Sorry about that. You know how sensitive I am.
I know you are, GB.
Yes, I am. Don't ever call me again.
Thanks, GB.
Hey, listen. Soothe yourself. Let's have a drink.
Hello. Thank you.
Don and just a sip.
Have some joy.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Don, Mike.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey, I got a question for Buzz.
All right, I'll try.
I just wanted to know, Buzz, how you felt now that Century's recalling 650,000 strollers. I mean, you must, you know, feel really good that one of your personal little vendettas there is finally starting to get noticed.
I feel vindicated. I'm glad somebody else has finally noticed the hazards of strollers.
Oh, didn't we hear that on the news today? Yeah. And Rob and I commented about that to Buzz.
They're recalling the ones with Firestone tires on them.
You know, let's be honest, it's not just strollers. Buzz will be driving by a playground and he'll shake his head disgustedly.
Shake his head ruefully.
Ruefully.
I love the Don and Mike show.
Hey, you gods.
Hi.
Hey, is it possible to smoke pot too much? Can you smoke pot every day and still lead a productive life?
I did until I got busted.
Moderation in all things,
including moderation.
Exactly.
Right. Now, listen, I don't advocate it. It was a life that I led for a long time. I don't anymore.
Right.
But
really work out.
No, it didn't work out for me.
Right.
It didn't work out for me.
Yeah, it's funny, you know.
It was not the best pot I've ever smoked.
It was not.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, man.
That's why I like booze now.
Sure.
You can buy it anywhere, any street corner.
Absolutely.
They don't arrest you for it.
No.
You go home and have it right in your house.
Yeah. They arrest you for it if you're drinking it along the highway, though.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Well, that's why Rob drives me everywhere.
Isn't that great? Isn't that convenient?
Hello.
Hey, Don.
Rob or my wife.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
That nose trimmer smell.
Yeah.
Your train set smell.
Right.
You know what that is?
No.
That's ozone.
an unstable allotropic form of oxygen with a pungent odor like that of chlorine.
Sounds like you're reading that out of a book, sir.
I am reading it out of a book. I knew what it was. I was just going to, I wanted to enlighten you further that it is, that's what ozone smells like.
I like callers that enlighten us.
And
I really do.
You know where else you can smell it is on bumper cars. Because the electricity in the air actually splits the molecule and it leaves the smell of ozone.
That is really a smell that reminds me of a kid.
Without reading it from a book.
That is a smell that reminds me of being a little kid.
That's right.
It does. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Rob saying splitting molecules. Hello. I tell you, we're splitting a few molecules in here today.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Ronaldo y Miguel.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, Golden Boy.
Yeah, how you doing?
I got a couple of tree stumps in my backyard. I was wondering if your wife could come over and pull them out for me.
Hey, for a price, but all those checks will have to go through me.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey. What's up, Don and Mike?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah. I'm going to talk to you about the Lakers-Sixers game last night. That halftime.
Oh, Destiny's Child, you mean?
Yeah. Got booed.
Oh, did they get booed, really?
Yes, they got booed.
It was on where I was at, but it was muted, so I couldn't hear it. Why would they boo Destiny's Child?
It's because, first of all, they suck. And second of all, because they were covering Lakers stuff.
Right, they wore Lakers jerseys out on the court in fall.
Well, how stupid. What a bunch of stupid
men. Yeah. They'll
bounce back, though. They're survivors.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye. Golden Boy, say my name, say my name.
Say my name, say my name, and get out of my seat.
But really, what dumb bitches they are.
Of all cities.
You're in Philly.
No, we're talking about the number one
Lakers jerseys.
I mean, the number one city where you do not represent the opposing team is Philadelphia.
That's dumb. Yeah. God damn it. Hello, Don, my show.
Chief Z found that out.
Hey, boys. How are you doing?
Hi, you're on the air. We're doing great, thanks.
I just wanted to call and thank you for a long time, but I never saw any pictures of you guys. I just want to call and tell you guys that you're hot.
Right. I'm here to tell you. You need two things, honey. You need a new cell phone and you need a new computer.
New spectacles.
You've seen our picture and you think we're hot. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Can I ask you about your kidney?
Sure.
You were talking about
why not?
A few months ago that you could only drink every once in a while because of your kidney.
Correct.
I hear a party pooper coming on.
No.
No, go ahead.
Not at all. Actually, I felt terrible for you when I heard that...
And I don't drink as much as I used to. I have had to severely cut back my drinking.
But you're still able to drink.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's just good news.
I can't get bombed every night.
Yeah, well, that's excellent, because...
Right, that's our story, right?
Like one drink and get ill.
That's our story.
That's messed up.
No, I'm all right. I can have a drink.
Okay, well, good.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye, thanks.
Bye.
I might have one tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
He cares. Too.
I'm thinking about it. Hello, Don and Mike show. I'm thinking about having one before the news today. To be honest with you.
My
doctor says I can only drink heavily. I can only drink like whenever I want when I go to Europe.
There you go.
When I go to Europe, all bets are off.
Well, you have to go with the culture.
Way to wake up and be drunk by 7 in the morning.
When in France.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, Destiny's Child did not wear Lakers. One more Lakers, one more 76ers, and one more an NBA jersey.
Ah, so they were representing every team.
Yeah, they covered it all.
Hold on, Lisa. Well, hold on. Lisa's shaking her head. Did you see it, Lisa? Well, come here and tell us then. Who the hell knows?
I saw it too.
Well, hold on, Lisa. When you said that, Lisa shook her head. Like that you were saying something. Did you see it, Lisa?
Yeah, one had on like a funky Laker. They were different clothes, like jumpsuits and T-shirts. They were all Lakers.
They were all 76ers?
No, I left the room, came back, and thought maybe they were in L.A. and this was just being broadcast because they've been doing that gay stuff at halftime where they've been showing concerts from wherever. And they were definitely all wearing Lakers.
All Lakers stuff.
Well, I took a double take, and I absolutely am positive. Michelle wore the Lakers. Kelly wore the 76ers.
Hey, how can you even tell?
And Miss Beyonce wore...
What did Beyonce wear?
NBA jersey.
Beyonce wore what?
Beyonce. I love Beyonce. I mean, Beyonce. Without Beyonce, there is no Destiny's Child, honey.
Don't they change members like more than I change
they
my
change
underpants?
They change members. Sure. They're like moons that revolve around Beyonce.
Beyonce.
Yes.
All right, thank you, honey.
Okay.
Whatever.
There will be no Destiny's Child without Beyonce.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, TB, what's up, baby?
How you doing, man?
Hey, you know, when they were doing their twist, they were showing some Todd cleavage in that one shot.
Oh, you mean Destiny's Child?
Oh, they were showing many breastises.
All right, thank you, my friend.
I hear Charlie Sossel hated it.
Thank you. Well, yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show. Yeah, who cares about Destiny's Child? They're thin, they have big breasts, they're beautiful. Yuck. I'd much rather talk about the Temptations.
Absolutely. He was wishing they'd do an Indiana Jones show.
Don and Mike, hello. Oops. All right, we got time for one more. We got P. Diddy coming in. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, can I talk to Don and Mike?
Yeah, you're on the air. What do you want? Hi.
Hey, Don and Mike.
What?
Hey, the girls were wearing a Lakers thing and a Sixers thing.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Apparently it's a topic of hot debate.
Yes.
With our listeners. We do need to break. We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
What is your reaction to the comment that you are just a flash in the pan?
Maybe they're right. Nobody knows. In fact, if I knew, I would be a mastermind. I'm not.
They live by the ad and die by the ad. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Damn straight, Jimmy. Well, it's not a mystery guest, since we've had this person on the show before, okay? But, Mike, you do know this person. You got nothing off her at the prom.
Yeah, Mike, you talk about me all the time.
Yes. Hey, we're in your city.
Yes, it's Candace Bushnell.
We're in her city.
She's the Sex and the City lady, right?
You know. Hi, Candy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, Mikey. Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
Now, you don't like to be called Candy anymore, do you?
Well, nobody's called me that since I was
in junior,
21.
Junior, senior. 21 is when you stopped using that, right?
Well, actually, you know, I got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And my boss was very old-fashioned, and he said, I can't possibly have an assistant named Candy. Don't you have another name?
All right, Candace. I will call you Candace from this point
forward. So it's just Candace from then on.
If you don't know.
It's a mouthful.
If you don't
like
know.
Like you guys.
She is the Sex and the City lady. Yeah. Carrie,
right.
Sex and the City, that's really Candace Bush now.
She wrote the book.
I mean, well,
you know, she's based on you.
I wrote the book.
You wrote the book.
Do you do any writing at all? I mean, do you consult them at all for script writing nowadays?
Well, I don't now,
mm-hmm.
but you know, I'm actually really good friends with the executive producer, Darren Starr, so every now and again, I see things that happen to me.
Let me plug your book here.
To the characters.
Candace's most recent book is called Four Blondes. I don't know if it's coming out in paperback or what.
It's coming out in paperback on July 4th.
That's why she's
Four
on the
Four Blondes,
show.
July 4th. It's like a great beach read.
There's the plug. Now listen, about the show. I don't know if when you were on before, we spent a lot of time with you and Mike, you know, when you guys were growing up together.
Right.
And I don't know if we spent a lot of time talking about the show.
Her happiest days, I should add.
Exactly.
Of course they were.
Those happy, innocent days.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I got to think? I got to think, even if the character is loosely based on Candace Bushnell.
Right. I have a lot of sex.
She has an awful lot of sex. You should have been able to get something off her, Mike.
She, I think she came down to New York and just blossomed.
Yeah, that was when I went wild.
I mean, she was very conservative. You know, we were...
Yeah. No, we grew... Hey, we were in Glastonbury. We were conservative. We didn't even know people who had sex, including her parents.
you know, because Mike took this woman to... What prom was it?
I took Candace to
her
senior prom.
And Mike was a junior.
I was a junior.
Had a friend,
mm-hmm.
who took my friend Linda Dufford.
Yeah, who do you? I don't remember though. I don't remember that name. I remember Linda Dufford, but I don't remember.
That guy. I think his cheeks were very, very pink.
I'm trying to think who took.
But I could be mixing him up with one of my sister's dates. I don't know.
Boy, I wish I remember, but I can't.
Would there be any way that you could, you know, talk to Darren Starr or someone at the show and say, "Listen, I got an idea for a plot line. That there's this disc jockey,
right?
The pampered chef who now does a radio show, but went out with Carrie back when Carrie was in high school, and every day beats himself up mentally about the fact that, you know." Whether it's consciously or subconsciously,
yes.
When he watches the show, he thinks...
Right, that, you know, hey, what happened to me?
What happened to me?
Yeah, look at my life. Look at this exciting woman, and where did I miss the boat?
Well, you know, the truth is, like with, you know, most TV shows,
mm-hmm.
they won't even read storylines that people
sent in to them.
Is your life really that exciting, though, here in New York? I mean, when you were
writing... Yeah, my life is pretty exciting in New York. I mean, I have a good time, but, you know, I mean, I have a boyfriend now. I've had a boyfriend for 2 years.
Same one that you talked about the last time you were on our show?
The English dude.
Oh, the English man.
Yes, the English man.
Do you have great... I mean, are you as wild as your character is? I mean, do you do everything?
You know what? I wish that I was. Like, the character Samantha.
You're right.
This is what I love about the character Samantha. Everywhere I go, women come up to me and they're like, I've got a friend who's just like Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And then some women come up and say, all my friends say that I'm just like Samantha, and I don't know why.
They're all whores, then.
No, right. No, darling, they're just modern women.
They're
just, like, way ahead of you.
Yeah. I was watching the show the other night, and I was saying to myself, you know, when you were living that life, and you probably still are living that life, except you have a boyfriend now, but was it, you know, was it openings of restaurants and art galleries? Was it every night this just incredible tapped into the pulse of New York?
Totally. You know, when I was writing Sex and the City, like, when you went out at night, you'd have a schedule, and you would compare it, like, with your friends and the other people who were going out. So it was like, okay, we're going to this opening for 45 minutes, and then we're going to this other party for half an hour, then we're going to go to dinner, then we've got, like, these two after parties to go to, which we'll go to for an hour, and then we'll see you at, like, 2 in the morning at this other club.
And Candace, I want to tell you something. I think the Mike that we know now,
yes,
and we call him Golden Boy, the pampered chef,
right?
He would love that lifestyle, but you should know the other side, mm-hmm, that if you had married Mike,
right,
you should know that right now as we speak, he has his wife, I ask you not, doing heavy manual labor.
She's digging a trench in the backyard.
At his home.
I get it. I totally get it. I mean, I have girlfriends who, like, they come to my house in the country, and they, like, chainsaw.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I have a very good life, and, you know, I write the checks for the heavy construction equipment, and she uses it. It's delightful.
Hey, that's great.
That could have been you, Candace.
You know what? Back home on the farm.
Could have been you and
Barry.
On the ditch.
I told you that. My sister's building a barn.
Yeah, we come from a rural town. I mean, there was a lot of it. It was kind of a...
Well, you grew out of it, nice Mike.
It was kind of a... Yeah, but I told you, I picked tobacco. Candace would be able to tell you that a lot of kids in my town pick tobacco.
Picking tobacco.
Right, absolutely.
But you both have managed to rise above those humble starts.
Well, oh, you know what? We had a good time, though.
It was a great time.
Had that good
loved
time.
It. Mike, it was a carefree existence.
Mike, you didn't even copper press.
No, there was not even a not even a feel.
Yeah.
Not even a
Mike
feel.
Mike and I were friends.
We were buddies.
We were very modern.
I hate to say that because I know we bust on people about that all the time, but it is in fact true that we were friends. We were friends first.
Hey, Candace, do you think that I'm weird because of all the four girls on the show, the one I would do would
Charlotte.
Be
Charlotte.
No, Miranda.
No, she's very sexy.
And, you know what? And listen, I got a guy who works at our show, Rob Spiewak. He says that she looks like Dave Foley. You know the guy from News Radio?
No, she's beautiful.
I'm telling you, she's the one that I would do.
Don't we all have different women on the show that we are attracted to? Who is the one that was married to the rich guy?
Charlotte.
Charlotte.
I you like.
I am attracted to Charlotte.
Buzz, you like the whore, right?
I love her, yes.
Samantha.
I love Samantha. Samantha.
Yes. Well,
and Rob.
War, guys. I hate to tell you this, but, you know, there are a lot of women like that.
Like Samantha? Whore?
Yeah.
A few.
And it's just not a big deal these days.
So is this city crawling with women like that?
Well, you know, you have to remember it is a TV show, and
right,
the girls need to have different guys every week. Otherwise, like, there wouldn't be a TV show. But, you know, if you go out in New York, well, I don't know about you, Don, but Mike certainly.
There you go.
Would have women crawling all over
there,
him.
There you go. Right. Oh. Yeah, right.
Interesting.
And Golden Boy's clapping. Remember, right, you know, the truth is there are more single women in New York than there are single men.
Really?
Yeah.
If you really think that about your hunky former boyfriend, may I suggest you go to www.donandmikefans.com and check out a nice handsome picture.
Exactly.
Of your,
Mike, do you still have that beard?
Yeah, I do.
Of your boyfriend after he was hit by a car this week.
Oh, boy.
We recreated an accident scene.
Oh, and you did?
Yeah, it was very dramatic.
Well,
from your acting background.
Yeah, thank you, though. That's
well, you
really
know,
nice.
Hey, you know what, Mike? I acted.
Yes?
Yeah, we used to be in
like school plays and stuff?
That's it. We met, we did a lot of the theater. I am sounding more like Charlie Stossel by the moment.
So I did this.
You are.
I was her safe friend, and we acted together.
We acted together, and I actually had just did this thing for Bravo.
Right.
Where I'm the they're showing 30-something, and I'm the host.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it starts on July 16th.
Another plug.
But I had to, like, act. Like, they put me in the scene with the actors, and I
think
they're
like,
Hope, get a life. Or like, Michael, how come you never go after me?
You're a natural.
Yeah, right. It. I'm like the worst, I'm like the best, like worst actress in the world. I'm so bad.
You know, they are making more fun of me in this studio right now.
There are
more people accusing me of being gay.
You're a fag, Mike.
Than I have ever had happen to that just because we were good friends.
You're a giant
for God's
bag.
Sake. I know.
You were in plays.
Yes.
And you were an actor.
Yes.
Yes, I was.
High school acting. You got off nothing. You got nothing off this girl.
Very difficult. It will never get beyond that, will it?
No.
Listen, what are the odds? I got to think that I know her name is Cynthia Nixon, the girl who plays Miranda.
Right.
There's no way she gets as much attention as the other three. I would love to be able to throw some attention her way to say, hey, you know what? I know a lot of guys who think you look like Dave Foley. But I would take you in a... in a heartbeat.
Well,
that's probably
you know
not the best way to
approach it. I'd love to get her on the show. Feel that way about Miranda, and you know, I think you'd be surprised.
Well, what I'm saying is,
I'm sure she gets lots of attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you?
She actually has a, you know, basically like a husband.
Well, I am basically like a wife who I've been married to for 20 years, but it doesn't mean I don't watch the show and think, wow, the four of them.
Why don't you bring the whole cast over here?
You know, could you talk?
I mean, we've got a lot of guys on this show, but we do talk about Sex and the City all the time.
I'd like to talk to
her. Well, it's a great show.
So you're saying, no, you couldn't call HBO to have her call?
You know what? They're all shooting.
What, she didn't have 5 minutes to call for the one guy on the planet who stands up for her?
No.
Do you have that kind of clout, Candace?
Well, she does. Done, but I wouldn't do it for you.
She was always brutally honest.
Wow. Would you do it for your gay ex-boyfriend?
Maybe I'd do it for, like, George Clooney.
For Clooney.
Boo.
Were you ever involved with George Clooney?
No.
Who's the most famous person you've ever been involved with?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on,
Cam.
I really don't know. I can't actually even think.
Oh, please. Come on.
It's just coming down to this. I'm trying to make a living here. Come on.
Hey,
come
on. I'm just a nice girl from down on the farm.
No, she's not. She's a bad girl.
I'm not.
You are, but I meant that in a nice way. You're a nice bad girl.
So how is your new boyfriend, Guillermo, or whatever, the London guy, whatever his name is?
You know, Guillermo's not really an English name.
No, it isn't.
What is his name? What is his first name?
I'm not going to say.
I don't want to say, is it Lord something?
No.
Is he in England as we speak?
Yes.
And where are you? Are you in the city as
no,
we speak?
No, I'm in Connecticut. I'm at my country house.
Oh, you are?
I'm actually in Connecticut. So
really?
I'm
your country house.
Your country house.
My country house. Yeah, it's like Mike and I, like we grew up here.
Yeah.
But now it's a country house.
That's when I used to walk around with just my overalls and no shirt on. And I have a big
piece of straw in your teeth.
That was me. Yeah, and the hat. And the Huckabee hat.
Right, and some, you know, tobacco juice under your fingers.
That's me. Well, are you pleased with the show? It's only been on a couple weeks this year. Are you pleased with it this year?
I think it's great.
I think it's great.
You know what? I loved the fashion show episode. That is so New York, because that's the kind of stuff that does really happen. I mean, I actually had to wear a bathing suit once in a fashion show in the Hamptons.
So that was loosely based on something
that
happened to
you. Well, no. I mean, they made it, like, so much more glamorous. But
no, no, no. Think about it. Hold on. Didn't Mr. Big go to London for a while? And I think that was...
No.
No. Big went to London, absolutely.
Mr. Big on the show went to London, right. Yes.
No, that's what I mean. And that was within the last 2 years, because I remember the episode where... he came back, and Carrie went and got him all this McDonald's food, and he, like, said to her, hey, I don't want to make a commitment to you, and she threw a Big Mac at him. I'm thinking, again, that's another parallel now.
Sure.
Because
well, I don't know if that exactly happened, but, you know, he did say he didn't want to make a commitment,
right.
Which is basically what every guy in New York says, usually at the end of the first date.
You know, speaking about your current relationship, which I must get back to again, it does seem to
me... With the guy in London,
yeah, right? The guy's in London. That's got to be relatively convenient. I mean, it's kind of a commitment.
Yeah, you know what? It would be kind of convenient. Like, you could think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm just a little mispressed.
Really? All I do is work.
Oh, okay.
Please.
Do you ever, well, I'll just add, do you have phone sex with him?
No.
No, you don't.
No.
But see, she paused for a moment.
Yes, she did.
No, I was blowing out my, the smoke from my cigarette.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm sitting here smoking and having a glass of champagne because it's that time.
So when you don't stop. So when you're not with him, you are...
Oh, I'm usually hanging out with my girlfriends.
No, but what I mean, so sexually you shut down when you're not with him?
Well, we see each other like... I mean, I'm going to see him tomorrow. He's coming back to New York tomorrow for a week, so...
How long has it been?
Just about... When did I see him last? Sunday?
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. So, see, I was thinking it was months and months.
5 days.
All right.
It's not a big deal.
I'm thinking he's gone for months and months.
Well, No. We see each other, like, practically every week.
Oh, call me crazy. I was trying to make something out of it that wasn't...
I know. Right. I know.
Hey, listen, phone sex, nothing to be ashamed of. My wife is in New York today looking for apartments for us, and... we're in the same city. I had phone sex with her right before the show today.
You know what? That's great. You should be so happy. You should be so happy that you had that kind of relationship. That is fantastic. That's what everybody wants, babe.
You know what's great, Candace, is that he lets us watch when he does that, too.
Oh, boy.
It tightens it for me.
It tightens the show. It really does.
Listen, Candace, your show, Sex and the City... This is Sunday on HBO, and your book is coming out in paperback on the 4th of July. And sometime when we're here, you should actually come down and, let us look you over.
Yeah, but give us an advance notice, because I'll wear something nice.
Yeah, wear overalls.
I'll wear overalls and a piece of straw in my
mind. But actually, if I were in the city, I'd love to see you guys, but,
I know, you're out there at your country house.
I gotta work.
Is your book, Four Blondes, is that going to be anything with TV?
Well, it's not going to be with TV, but one of the stories was sold to the movies.
Oh.
So they're, I guess they've got somebody writing it.
Miss Big Shot.
Yeah. She's the golden girl.
She is. And you're the golden boy. You could have been the golden couple, Mike.
We could have been the golden couple skipping hand in hand down Fifth Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing our teeth.
Yeah, wonderful. But you would have had to dig a trench.
All right. Thank you for calling, Candace.
Okay, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye.
Candace Bushdell, Mike's ex-girlfriend.
We were friends. Wasn't really a girlfriend. Wasn't really a girlfriend.
Come on. For the record, you should ride that horse.
Do you know, seriously, when I hear her on the phone and when we had her in the studio, it does bring back memories that we had a group. I hung out. I thought I was very cool because I hung out with most of the seniors in my high school, and we had a clique of people and had a great time. But I will tell you honestly, that there was always that sexual tension. That I really thought I was brought along for comic relief, but underneath that, if any of them had even given me the slightest opportunity,
sure. You could have dropped your pants.
Oh, it would have been, oops, I'm done. Yeah, that's the truth. That is the real truth.
Well, she is very nice.
Yes, she is.
I think you can tell when you hear her on the phone that really the character sounds a lot like her. I mean,
she sounds like Sarah Jessica Parker when she's
does.
Talking.
She does. Was she hot in high school?
Yeah, she was very
really hot.
I'll bring in a I've been meaning to. I think I've got it at home. You will laugh your ass off. I will bring the prom picture because we're both wearing black. And I was wearing, here's the outfit I had. You know, when you want to talk, this is the one prom picture you look back on and you realize what a Nimrod you look like. I was wearing an all-black tux, but it was one of those half-tail things, you know, that where the thing goes down longer. And then I was wearing a blood-red ruffled shirt with black stripes and one of those big 70s ties.
Right.
I looked like Count Dracula.
How's she look?
She looked on prom night. She looked probably, yeah, she did look. She was the best-looking girl I took to any of the prom. I went to three of them, and she was the best-looking. I mean, she looked fantastic.
You got nothing
she had
her.
She had style back then.
You got nothing off her.
No, fact.
Thank you. We got a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
Oh.
Number one, Arba Conway, the Don and Mike Show.
Will you marry me? I'd make a good husband, Jenny.
You would, Forrest.
But you won't marry me.
You don't want to marry me.
Why don't you love me, Jenny? I'm not a smart man.
This is Sam Huff.
But I know what love is.
Right.
God freaking damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. All right, PJ's here. Hold on just a second. Let me get a quick update. Give me a second.
Who are you calling?
My wife. See what she's doing?
Your call is being forwarded. Please stay on the line. Announcement number 10.
Keep trying to move her away farther and farther from the radio station.
Right.
Is that where you want her to reside?
Yes.
Well, no, no. I mean, that's where I'd like us to reside.
Ah, I see.
I mean, not just her.
Right.
Although that arrangement has some great upside. If she just came to New York 3 days a week,
you stay in
her home. You can leave a message or not, whatever you want.
Oh, must be busy.
Maybe she's actually in an apartment now. Hello?
Hi. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Honey, call me before you do anything. Bye, I'm just checking in. Bye. Oh, Pete, would you like to say hi to my wife? Leave a message? Say hi to my wife, Frida.
Hi, Butt Pirates.
Hold on a second. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Butt Pirates.
Bye. Bye-bye. You know, Rob and I were just discussing the schedule today. We've got a trip to give away.
We do?
And, yeah, the WWF trip to New Jersey for Father's Day. That I think most likely the P. Diddy segment...
P. Diddy.
...is going to be on tomorrow's episode.
Oh, okay.
However, just to tease you...
Yes?
For when we do the segment Ask Pete...
Yeah.
This will be the intro that we will ask Pete to read.
All right, very good.
This is just a rehearsal, Pete.
Right up on microphone.
Tomorrow, we're thinking about giving you a segment called Ask P. Diddy. Ask P. Johnson.
Right. All right, here we go.
A hearty and booming hello to all my loyal but relatively tiny listeners. I am the P-Man. I will not harm you. I am qualified to dispense advice on personal matters, financial matters, and affairs of the heart. If you got some problems with that, no? Ha, 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 ha.
Obviously, it could take a little work.
Sure. Hey, I think I've heard that character before.
It's going to take a little work.
I like it.
But, Pete, the thought is that tomorrow... Well, you know what? We could try it with one person right now, just to give you a tease on what tomorrow's episode will be like. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I love you guys.
Thank you. Listen, what's your name?
Oh, my goodness. My name, should I give my real name?
Yeah.
Hey, make one up for me. I'm a gorgeous black chick, very educated, fun-loving. Give me a name.
All right, how about Velveeta?
Nice.
Velveeta. I like that.
All right, listen.
I'll go for that.
Velveeta, where are you calling from?
I'm on the road here on Randolph Road.
All right, Velveeta, tomorrow we're going to be...
Velveeta,
tomorrow we're going to be doing a segment on the show called Ask Pete Johnson. He's our New York engineer, and right now, please ask him... Or take the card away from him.
The card is totally generic. He can...
I know, but he should start by answering then get the card.
Okay.
Go ahead, ask Pete Johnson... Well, Pete, read her your intro card, and then Velveeta, you can see the setup on this.
Okay,
go ahead, Pete.
A hearty and booming hello to all my loyal but relatively tiny listeners. I am the P-Man. I will not harm you. I am qualified to dispense advice on personal matters, financial matters, and affairs of the heart. If you got some problem with that, no. Ha 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 ha.
Very good.
Okay.
So do you have a question on any topic for Pete Johnson?
Okay.
Ask him anything you want.
Okay, Pete Johnson. I'm free and single, and I am very demanding. What should I do to attract a gentleman that I see at a restaurant or someplace and I like him? What should I say or do to attract him or to say hello?
Ask him to hum my stick, dirty slut.
Oh.
Well done.
No, be nice.
All right, be nice. Be nice. Answer this woman's question honestly, please.
Try putting a quaalude in your place.
Now, come on now. Say something nice to this woman. Say something nice.
Eat my dingleberries, you funky sea.
Well, I don't think I'm going to take any advice from you. But Don and Mike, what about you?
What, honey? What?
What should I say to attract a gentleman to be very classy and to get his attention? What would you say?
Peter, well, Peter's got some advice for you. Jesus Christ. I better get a printer.
Okay. Hold on, Rob's having to rewrite some of this stuff for you. Pete, what would you like to say?
Shut your cake hole, bitch.
Simple and to the point.
Okay, well, I see where he's going.
No, he'll have a dialogue with you if you keep it up.
Oh, I see.
Don't talk to Mike and I. Talk to Pete Johnson.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, a douche might help. That might be the first step.
Well, how do you know about dishes?
Well, I've researched it.
What's your favorite dish?
Well, I don't have any particular favorite. You know, I'd like to change, change flavors.
Go to the card, Pete. Pete, go to the card.
Make Come me on, some Pete. Eggs, you whore.
Oh, you bastard. You kissed my ass.
Your ass is bigger than a city bus, wench.
It is, and it's lovely, too. Nice and round.
You reek of last week's clams.
And how would you know?
Well, I can tell.
Keep going if you want to talk to him.
Okay, you know what? This is just an example. Tomorrow, I think we'll get people. You know, Velveeta here, she didn't actually call to speak to Pete. She called to ask us our advice. We're simply using her as an example.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you as fat as you are dumb?
No, I'm not either one of them. I'm beautiful. I'm voluptuous. Elegant. Just plain gorgeous, babe. So, get it together.
Right. Drink Drano, dumb coony.
Coony.
Your mom must have been a very mean lady to you, huh?
Get on the bus to Asheville.
Well, no, there's no bus, you idiot. You have to take a flight or a cruise or something like that. You're ignorant.
Is there a family of immigrants living in your ass crack?
You want to crawl up there and find out?
Your mom tasted so good.
You know, okay, let's save this for tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a little taste.
Excellent.
Tomorrow, though.
There's a little taste. Pete Johnson, ladies
and gentlemen. And tomorrow we'll get people who actually want to talk to Pete. Now, Velveeta, you are wonderful to play along. I know you didn't really want to talk to Peter Johnson.
And, of course, our standard disc jockey. Peter's comments are written by the disc jockey.
Yeah, that's right. Vanessa, listen, goodbye. Why would you want to ask us questions like that? Seriously, honey.
I respect you. I listen to you every day. And I think you're the best.
Hold on. Mike has some serious advice for you. Here you
go.
Here you go. Mike?
Mike?
That's, you didn't hear that,
ma'am?
No, I didn't hear. Was that a fart, Mike?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Mike! No! Mike, did you come?
Let me do the plug here,
Anita. Damn, lady.
It's www.egars.com, the hottest cigar site on the planet. All right, goodbye. Goodbye, Velveeta.
Say
hi to your sister NyQuil for me.
Sorry.
I'm not listening.
What, Velveeta?
Do I get a gift? I put up with this Pete Johnson crap.
I'll give you a gift. Hold on a second.
Thank you, Don and Mike.
You're very welcome.
I love you anyway, Mike.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on there, Velveeta.
Whatever.
Hold on a second. Okay, well, listen. You get the idea tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm thinking right out of the chute tomorrow, first break, we'll turn it over to Ask P. Diddy.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
With people who actually want to interact with the great Pete Johnson. And
wonderful.
And the format will be Pete can actually answer the question.
Sure.
When he gets done, that's when he can start reading our handiwork.
Of course.
God damn, that cracks me up every time.
He'll have a little dialogue with you, and then he'll finish it off with a nice goodbye.
He will, but listen now. We got to start selling this because we have a contest that we have to run today to get the paperwork in time for the Founders Day stuff. We're going to be giving away a trip for two from anywhere in America to beautiful New Jersey.
New Jersey and you perfect together.
See the WWF King of the Ring, June 24th, courtesy of WWF. enough, Comcast, Cox Cable. The trip includes round-trip airfare anywhere in America, two nights hotel, and tickets to the event. Treat your dad like a king for Father's Day. Order King of the Ring Sunday, June 24th. Call Comcast Cox System to order now. How do I win this trip for my dad?
Wow.
Well, it's simple. Thanks for asking, Buzz.
Yeah, how do they do it, Don?
Thank you. Thank you, Golden Boy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rob.
And
what my father doesn't know won't hurt him.
Oh.
Yes, that's right. There's got to be something in your past that your daddy or pappy doesn't know about.
Something you want to come clean about, something that'll win your dad a trip.
And this is why we are here, the way we do this contest. You call us at 877-365-3636. You tell us what it is that your dad doesn't know.
That's right.
We then select the best story, call up the person's dad live on the radio.
We let you confess.
Yeah, you tell your dad whatever it is that he doesn't know.
And then to soften it, you give him the trip.
Yeah, right. You say, hey, Dad, guess what?
Back 20 years ago, I actually did burn up your car.
Yeah. But guess what? We're going to New York to go to WWF at the Meadowlands together.
Yeehaw!
So if you're interested, and this, girls can play as well as guys. Girls have lied to their dads.
Yeah, daddy's little girl.
Oh, yeah. Right? So if you got a secret from your dad, call us right now at 877-365-3636. It's our Father's Day edition of What My Daddy Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Him, and you win a WWF King of the Ring trip to New Jersey.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay? So, well, let's see. Let's take a call right now.
Let's see what's happening
before we go to break, because people are calling for this already. Hello. Oops. Don and Mike show. You calling for the contest?
Hello.
Hey, turn your radio down. Are you calling for the contest?
Yes.
No. Who is this?
Where does Fat Bastard at?
Sir, do you know who you're talking to? Or are you bright enough to process that?
Disqualification. Yeah, I'm sorry. He's disqualified. Hello, Don and Mike show. Are you calling for the contest? Should I just wait? Let Lisa screen these calls.
I'm not sure. This doesn't seem to be working at this stage. Maybe we have to give people time to digest.
I thought this is an experiment. Now, yeah, people are calling now. They must be calling for the contest, right?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Got a mic?
Yeah.
This is 420.
Mr. 420, are you calling for the contest?
No, I was calling because I'm in Georgetown.
Yeah?
And one of your favorite subjects is taking a new twist. They've closed the entire... I'd say 6 blocks of Georgetown. There's police everywhere. It looks like somebody threw a bomb out down here because all the manhole covers are up.
Wow.
You know, this whole manhole cover thing in D.C., I know we've been screaming about it for a long time.
Right.
But again today, I think as late as this morning, there was another manhole cover that had exploded with black smoke and flames.
Oh, yeah.
Flames pouring out, hot tongues of flame.
And still no explanation for it.
They got every TV crew down here you can imagine, and it's one-way traffic now. Everything's closed. Every store, every bank, there's nobody on the streets.
Wow. Well, just
and there's
remember.
Cops directing traffic. I don't think I'm even going to be allowed to get... I'm at the corner of Wisconsin and M. I don't think they're even... They're not even letting me turn up Wisconsin. Wisconsin's just, shut down, too.
Just remember where you heard it first. The panic started here on the Don and Mike show. Thank you, Mr. 420.
Citizen.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who is this?
It's Pat.
Hey, Pat. Okay, Pat, are you calling for the contest?
Yes, I am.
All right, now, this is just an example. I don't know what this guy has to say.
We have no idea.
But it's a good story or bad story. Pat, where are you calling from?
Now I'm in Falls Church, Virginia.
Beautiful. Pat, what is it that your dad doesn't know?
Well, my dad was a single guy when I was in high school.
Yes.
And he was dating girls a little bit younger than I was. Well, and I decided to sleep with a girl that was a little bit older than I was, so I banged my dad's girlfriend.
You had sex with your dad's girlfriend.
That's not bad.
That's not that shocking to dad, but it is. There's something sweet about that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really cool about that.
Just want to see if I measured up to the old man, you know?
You know what I mean? If dad really doesn't know that happened.
How old were you?
I was, I guess, 18 at the time.
How old was the girl?
28.
And how old your dad?
I guess he was about 51, 52 at the time.
And how are the circumstances that you ended up banging your dad's girlfriend?
he left for work, and I hadn't left yet, and she was still there.
You know what? Well, I'm going to keep this guy as, oh, yeah, as a possible finalist.
Absolutely.
Pat, if you're on a cell phone or something, hold on. Give the number to Lisa so she can call you back, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on a sec.
You know, right out of the chute, that's a good one.
Okay, that's not bad.
Absolutely.
Hey, Dad, guess what? You remember that girlfriend you had? Well, I banged her.
Yeah. So good, I'd almost like to give that guy the trip to the wrestling match.
Okay, well, maybe that's the best, or maybe we'll get other good ones.
We'll see.
Call 877-365-3636 right now. We'll be right back.
Number one, Harvick Conway, the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show.
Coming to you today from WNEW in New York. Tomorrow on the show, we have a mystery guest. Everybody can play along and guess, you guys included.
Wonderful. That is always exciting.
Mystery guest also tomorrow from the NBA Finals, Snapper Jones. And incidentally, Lisa, our producer, was wrong. Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Wrong. Lisa, Lisa. Little Lisa.
Don't pound your lip out like that. Those dumb bitches from Destiny's Child did wear Lakers jerseys.
All Lakers, and that's why they got booed heartily by the Philly fans.
All Lakers stuff, and we'll talk about that and more with the Snapper Jones. And also tomorrow, P. Diddy will be here.
Yeah. P. Diddy, yes. I walked by P. Diddy during the break. I said, great job as usual. There was no response.
Ask P. Diddy anything, and also tomorrow, we hardly ever say this, but we do mean it, a very special low-budget Jet Pardee.
You'll want to tune in for it.
Very special. And when I say very special, it's not like when they say a very special blossom.
Oh, good. This isn't going to be sensitive.
No, no. I mean, it's going to be, but it's special.
Quite the contrary.
It's a very special low-budget Jet Pardee.
We think you'll enjoy it.
All of that on tomorrow's episode. Now, let's get to some calls and see if anybody's got a story better than the guy who had sex with his dad's girlfriend.
I think the first guy we talked to in the last break, it was credible, and so let's see what we do now.
We are giving away a WWF trip for Father's Day to New Jersey for the King of the Ring. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina. Oh, and listen, hold on. Christina, that reminds me, wrestling, Mick Foley called off the air today to say thank you that they had thousands of people last night.
Good.
To get his book signed.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Mick wants to come back on, I don't know, something ridiculous, like in 2 weeks.
He's a great guy.
Wants to come back on again real quick.
He's a good friend to have. I mean, we're talking about getting a guy when he's hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guest. Hello, hey, Christina.
Yes.
Christina, where are you calling from?
From Reston.
From Reston, Virginia. Beautiful. Christina, what is it that your dad doesn't know?
He doesn't know that I have my nipples pierced.
Oh, my.
Christina, and the big... Well, how old are you?
I'm
29. Oh. Please get out of. Goodbye, Christina. See you later.
Hello. All right.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Mark.
Hi, Mark. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Carmichael, California.
Is this Mark Cutback Davis?
Hey, that guy's a fag.
Good pickup. Good job.
Mark, thank you for listening. And what is it that your dad doesn't know?
Well, I visit my mom and dad about once a week, maybe twice a week. And I came across my dad's stash of Viagra. And I've been pilfering one or two pills at a time and sharing them with some friends of mine that swear that they're great enhancers.
Stealing your father's
now
Viagra.
That's not bad. Lisa, again, because we don't have all 12 lines up here, get this guy's number, and then Mark, you're a finalist. We'll call you back. Hold on a
second. Thank you.
All right, pilfering dad's Viagra.
Boy, you know, that's the second one that I really, really like.
And giving it to his friends. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen.
Hi, who's this?
This is Eric from Las Vegas.
Eric, beautiful. Thank you. Oh, our new station out there, K... Let me see if I got it. Is it KFNS?
Something something like that.
Yeah, hold on, that's the Don and Mike listener.
Hold on.
All I know is that I'm glad you're back out here, guys. I've been wanting to tell you that for weeks.
It's going
to
help us in the ratings if, well, you know, who am I to yell at this guy? I don't know the call letters either.
Well, it's 1140. That's what I know.
1140, as long as he knows the dial position.
All right, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
All right, listen, Eric from Las Vegas, what is it that your dad doesn't know?
In 1979, when I moved away, actually, no, 78, when I moved away from home for the first time, I moved to California. I got my first big highfalutin job, and I got my first paycheck. Well, I cashed it. I hadn't set up a checking account yet. I cashed it at work and was on my way home. And being some little kid from this little town, I ran into this three-card Monte game.
Yeah.
And ended up losing every dime I just made.
Oh,
and I called up Dad crying, oh, I don't have money to pay the rent.
God, you later. Christ. God damn.
Call a priest.
What a great bio, though.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, who's this? Hi.
This is Randy from Bowling Green.
Hi, Virginia. Randy. Hi, Randy from Virginia. Randy, what is it that your pappy doesn't know?
About 5 years ago, my dad got a new truck and I had a Blazer, and my best friend, his older brother, used to chase tornadoes. And he taught me into going after one too, but not in my car. My old man would never let me take his truck, but I had a key to it. So I went to his work, and I took his truck. It was in the middle of the day. Took his truck, went out, and thought we knew what we were doing. My first time ever doing it, I think we got a little bit too close. And I got panicky, I backed up, and I hit the left corner of the truck into a pole.
Oh, hold on. You mean a tornado in the D.C. area?
No, I'm from Iowa originally.
Uh-huh. Oh, so you did this out in Iowa?
Yes, sir.
But what is the story, though? Just that you...
Well, I backed the truck up and then dented the back end. And I took the truck.
It was all BS anyway.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hello. From the... You can tell. There's always that sound.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike. Who's this?
Like this one.
This is Howard Ritchie.
Hey, Ritchie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richie, what doesn't your dad know?
Back in 1992, I was going to a party.
How old are you, Richie?
I'm 24 now.
Okay.
I was going to a party.
Yeah?
And I snuck out and stole my dad's truck and got pretty wasted with some friends.
Yes, Richie?
So I'm out of breath. I had to rent the phone. And while on the way back, we wrecked my dad's truck.
Yes, Richie?
And instead of telling my dad, we pushed it...
Put him out of his misery, please.
Oh, come on, I just want to see where it's going.
Pushed it where?
We pushed it into the lake.
You pushed his truck into a lake?
Yeah, I never told him.
All right. Bye, Richie. Thanks, Richie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Perfect name.
I just want to hear where he was going with
it. Okay,
that.
Richie.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, where are you from?
I'm calling from Reno.
Beautiful. Jeff, what doesn't your dad know?
Well, first off, my dad doesn't know that I'm gay.
Well, that's
but
always,
more importantly...
Hold on. That's always a good one. If you're willing to out yourself on the show. But hold on. You know, that's also a crap detector.
Yeah, absolutely. In a minute.
Are you really a homo?
I don't use the term homo, but yes, I'm actually bisexual.
The fake indignation, too, is always a good sign.
Okay,
but
here's what's worse, okay. Is that my dad and I were supposed to drive over to San Francisco to go see a 49ers game.
Yeah.
My dad couldn't go because of work, and so I went with my dad's best friend.
Uh-huh.
We ended up hooking up.
You had gay sex with your dad's best friend?
Yes. Back in the days when John Montana was playing.
John Montana.
Okay, don't do it.
No.
Your mama!
You didn't get us.
I mean, that
you didn't get us.
Yeah.
You didn't. Really didn't.
No, he didn't get it. But I mean, it was we were all nodding. I mean, yes. Are we all agreed?
Yes.
I mean, from the very beginning?
Unanimous. Yes, yes. Hello, Don and Mike Show. All of that just to say John Montana.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
He stuttered over it.
Oh, he's horrible at it.
Hold on. That's the guy. That's the line the guy was on. Christ, if I could just...
Hey, my name's Richie.
The number of your last incoming call was 301529.
Okay, pick it up, Rob.
June 14 at 5:23 p.m.
Okay.
To activate the callback... dial 1. That never works. Otherwise, hang up. Please dial 1 now or hang up.
I'm trying.
Stupid phone. A damn phone. Hold on. These phones, boy. You know,
you see what I'm going through?
Would that be the kind of phone like you could find in any Radio Shack?
You got a dial tone?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Rob will get the number back.
Very good.
Okay, hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hung up on it.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Whoa, I can't take a call on the air while you do that?
No.
Hello, Don and Mike.
No. Retribution be thy name.
Someday. Okay, give it up. It's more important to take the call on the air.
We'll get.
We'll catch him next time.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Joe. Hi, is this Don and Mike?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, this is Dave. How are you?
Hi, Dave. We're doing great. You know, just let me say something. It sure would be nice to come up here and be able to do a show from the regular studio.
Yes.
Where we had regular telephone lines.
Absolutely.
Someday.
I'm so sorry about that.
Someday, maybe.
I hope so.
I hope so, too. Someday, maybe I'll be able to go right from my apartment to work. From my New York apartment to work. That would be nice.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice?
Hello?
Hey, John and Mike?
Yeah, who's this?
Hi, this is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Where are you from?
I'm from Waldorf, Maryland.
Okay, Dave, what doesn't your dad know?
Well, back when I was 16, I found my dad's Playboy stash that was signed by Playboy's playmate up in Chicago when he visited. Well, I was also experimenting at the time for myself, and I kind of exploded on there and, like, stuck the pages together.
Oh, please.
Get out of here. Love, Don and Mike.
And weren't they, I mean, really, if we're talking specifically about Playboy, weren't they all printed with signatures on them?
Huh?
Yeah, they did that for a while.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. I don't know. But I don't doubt that story that the guy exploded on his dad's Playboy.
Everyday occurrence.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
This is JT.
JT, where are you from?
Gaithersburg, Maryland.
JT, what doesn't your dad know?
All right, this one's bad. When I was 16, I had my car stolen and blown up for insurance money.
Okay, Mike's making a face that he doesn't believe you.
I'm telling you, call him up. It's bad.
I looked at Rob kind of with that one. I can't take full credit for that.
The thing is anyone starts out with, this is bad.
So, yeah, that's usually a reel that has always been a real sign.
You're claiming when you were 16 you had your dad's car blown up?
No, actually, it was my car, but it was under his insurance information that we collected the money for.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you exactly why this is BS.
Okay.
Man, it's not.
No one, and I mean even you, sir. No one is so stupid that they would admit to insurance fraud.
Hold on.
Which is a felony.
He is
admitting to a felony.
Let me just say, though, you're talking about a listener to this show.
I understand.
So cut him a slack burger in that regard.
No, I'm not going to cut him a slack burger. Let me tell you why. Because this is a 100% issue here.
Well, let me ask you. Well, okay, but we're not at fault if we air the call.
No, I'm not talking about
it. And who cares?
I'm talking about the crap detector.
So you're sure he's lying?
Absolutely.
How did you blow the car up?
Oh, I didn't do it. A friend did it.
Who?
I can't say who. Come on.
You're calling a radio show to say that you blew up your car.
Give us a first initial.
Yeah, but it's not like anyone knows who I am. I mean, come on.
we're going to have to get your name to give you the prize.
That's okay. You don't have to do that on the air, do you?
Yes.
All right. Well, can I get in trouble for it?
Yep.
Well, of course. As far as I know, no. Now, you can listen to Mike, who has his opinion. I don't think you can get in any trouble for that.
Hey, if you guys are willing to do it, call him up and ask him. It's true, so.
Well, just tell me, who did you hire? Just give me an initial or a first name.
Chris.
And you're saying the car was blown up.
Yeah. How did you, that's what I'm trying to get
blowed
at.
Blowed up real good.
How did you come in contact with this guy, Chris, who could blow your car up?
It was just a friend.
No, but I mean, why blowing it up?
Oh, just to get the insurance money.
And what did you tell the insurance company?
Just that it was stolen.
How did he blow it up? What did he use?
I don't know. I mean, I guess.
Where did he blow it up?
It was somewhere on our road.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
Just bear with me. I just like playing these out home.
I understand.
No, really.
You mean to tell me that?
Really.
You go to
if you get time, just call up there. I know you guys are on the show and everything. Call up there and ask him what happened, and he'll tell you, and then I can admit to it.
All the patterns are identical. Now the nervous like pattern, you know, he's filling all the holes because he doesn't want to be asked any more questions.
But what you're telling me is when you were 16, took your car, had a friend blow it up. You don't know how the friend blew it up. You don't know where the friend blew it up.
You don't know any of those details?
I do know all those details.
Well, then tell me some. How did he blow the car up?
I think he just burnt it with gasoline.
Well, now he burnt it. Now he poured gasoline on it.
Well, okay. The car did.
But any insurance investigation would determine that there was gasoline poured on a vehicle. That's a no-brainer for an insurance adjuster. For a claims investigator.
Where did he have it done?
He mentioned this on the air. It was on Zion Road.
Ooh. Okay, well then, if he blew your car up on Zion Road, how did you dispose of it so that the insurance company would believe it was stolen?
I don't understand. What do you mean? Like,
if the car was blown up, because it's not like the cartoons when you blow something up and it gets.
Oh no, no, there's still like the whole frame was like just the metal frame was still there. Like, and everything else was just melted to hell.
Uh-huh. Melted to hell. And it was never brought to anyone's attention, hey, there's a car that's burning on the side of the road?
No, it was. The police came, they found it, and we said it was stolen, and that's how it ended. I mean, they cut us a check. Like, it took a while.
So give your father a trip to wrestling. You're calling and admitting to insurance fraud.
I didn't know it was a trip to wrestling.
You didn't even know what the prize was.
What did you think it was?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was maybe a vacation or something.
Well, no, that is a vacation. It's a, you know.
You know, a moment ago I said no one would be that stupid.
Oh, I told you. Never underestimate the power of our listeners.
Ouch.
Or the lack thereof.
Yeah, you understand that's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, but you listen, I'm all for entertainment, so I'll put you in as a finalist.
All right.
Okay, hold on a second.
What do you think? What does the room think? Everybody's gotten suddenly quiet.
I believe him.
You always do. What about Robin Buzz?
It's possible. A lot of times car thieves torch the car to get rid of fingerprints and any other evidence, and that would probably work.
So you believe the guy?
I would say maybe. I'll give him
Yeah, I'm maybe from where I was before. I think he's that dumb.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, Dad.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
I burned the car.
I burned the car up.
Melted to hell.
But if it was his father's car.
No, I think he said it was his car.
Yes, it was his car.
But his
car.
Father insured it.
His father insured it. So his father would get the money to replace the car.
Hey, Lisa, prison. Put him back on hold.
Yeah, his father.
Put him back on hold, please. Hold on. So, hey, JT?
Yeah.
After the car was allegedly blowed up real good.
Blowed up.
And you said it took a while to get the money. How much money did you get and who did the money go to?
Well, it was a check from the insurance company.
For how much?
$16,000.
And who did the check go to?
It went to whoever the car was registered. It was either my dad or myself.
Well, no, don't you remember?
You wouldn't remember getting a six. This is crap.
Yeah.
JT, what year did this happen?
When I was 16, it was eight years ago.
Okay, and what kind of car was it?
It was a Camaro.
What year?
8 years ago. I don't know.
What
it was
year?
96.
What color was it?
Blue.
96 years ago.
Yeah, that was a future car.
Yeah.
You must have time machine insurance.
Yeah, if it was 1996.
He's completely full of
this
crap.
Would be the year 2004.
JT?
Yeah, it might not. I don't know. JT, I mean, maybe it was a 95.
The
model years are always a year ahead, so maybe it was a 95.
If it was a 95, you would still be in the future because it would be
2003. Yeah, all right.
Hey, JT?
Yeah.
Would you like to come clean?
No, seriously.
No, I know you're lying.
You
did it for the money and you don't remember getting the check?
No, I did it. All right, whatever. Just go ahead and call.
No, not whatever.
No, you're lying, man.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
What's the insurance company?
No way. I can't say that on the air. No
way. Nobody knows your name. Nobody knows where you live. But what's the insurance company?
Allstate
Insurance.
Yep.
And they cut a check to who? To you or to your dad?
I'm pretty sure it was to my dad because it was registered in his name.
Then how did you end up getting the money?
Yeah, because it was my car. It was like this. I was only 16, so we put it in his name for insurance purposes.
Hold on. You know what? Just for snacks, at least get the number of the dad. Because the only way we're going to find out is to call the dad.
Right.
To see if we get another bad actor on the line.
One more question for JT. Are you there?
No, at least he's getting his dad's number.
We got to determine what's the motive.
Yeah, that's what I have no idea what the motive is.
If you torch a new car for 16 grand, you're still not getting what it's worth, so why would he do it in the first place?
He's getting a brand new car.
But he had a new car.
He had a brand new car.
He had better than a new car, according to him. He had a future car.
Hadn't been built yet.
He didn't know who the check went to. He didn't know what year his car was.
No. He had a future car.
Future car.
Okay, JT.
Yeah.
Why did you have your friend blow the car up?
Just for the insurance money.
Why?
Like, what it was an inheritance money from my grandmother who died, and I was 16, and I got it all, and I spent it all.
But you had a brand new car. Why did you destroy a brand new car?
I just wanted the money instead.
But did your father let you keep the money?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. You know what? I'm in no way saying that you're going to win the contest.
Okay.
But I'm going to make a preliminary call now.
All right?
Okay.
Just to determine if you're full of crap or not.
Okay, that's fine.
Hold on, please.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, always an adventure. And we've had a couple of other good ones, and plenty of other people are online right now.
This is fascinating. I mean, I get... I believe, then I don't believe, then I get confused.
Right.
Still doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, again,
especially if he's 16 years old.
Crime never does, Mike.
And turning over.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
All right, we better keep this on.
508.
I'm just getting a phone number here.
Is not available at the tone. Please record your
nobody's
message.
Home.
Well, listen, there was no answer there at that number you gave us.
Okay.
Do you understand why this doesn't make a lot of sense to us?
No, I do, completely.
You do understand?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, JT, was that Dad's cell phone?
Yeah, what?
Was that what? Was that Dad's?
I didn't hear you. Didn't hear you.
Okay, listen carefully. Was that Daddy's cell phone?
No, that's their house phone.
No, it sounded like you've reached like a regular answering machine.
So I have one more question about this. So you blowed up this car
real good,
and then your father gets the insurance money, which he hands to you. Was it cash or a personal check?
No, it was in. It was, the money was an insurance check, like a certified check from the insurance.
Right. Okay. So he gave it to you.
When your dad, I think, is the question.
The question is going to be, did you go out and replace the vehicle?
Yeah, actually, I did. I bought a Z28 instead of a regular Camaro.
It's the same car. It's the same car, except it's got a little bigger engine.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Brian.
And now, hold on. For the record, what year did you allegedly have this car blowed up in?
I thought it was 94 or 95, but then again, I thought it was 96. I'm pretty sure it was 94 or 95.
Okay, it's
unbelievable.
Either 94, 95, or 96.
But there's still one question that begs to be answered. If you blew up the car to get rid of the car to get insurance money, why would you not only buy another car, but the same car? Why?
Well, it had a bigger engine. I was 16.
But you said you didn't want a car in the first place. You wanted the cash.
What year did you blow up the car?
Oh. It was 8 years ago from now. That's all I know.
8 years ago from now. You know what? Sorry.
It was fun, though.
He's out of the contest. Although we still might call the dad just for snicks later, see if we get an answer. Should.
I mean, you know, because really, at a certain point, it gets so dumb that you believe it again.
I think that's all I'm thinking.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
8 years ago from now.
8 years ago from now.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie, where are you from?
I'm from Springfield.
Debbie, what doesn't your daddy know?
Well, when I was 16 or 17, I grew up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And a girlfriend and I were going to go out on a Friday night just together. We told our parents we're going to go out to a movie. I lived out in the country. Instead of going to a movie, we went to a couple of boys' houses that my parents would not ever have approved of us going over to their house.
Yeah.
Spend the night, not the whole night. We were there for a little while and doing, you know, she was with one boy, not doing anything real serious, but things that, like I said, are...
Honey, what is it your dad doesn't know? I'm sorry.
On the way home from their house...
Time is of the essence.
This is the story, mistress.
We just spent a half hour with a guy who blowed up his car, so we just need to get right to the point.
On the way home from the house, we were worried about what we were going to tell our parents, and... It was the middle of winter, so we drove the car very carefully into a big snowdrift.
Okay. Goodbye. Listen, that's in between studying for their English final.
Say one Hail Mary and you're fine. Don't worry about it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
The car blew up.
Hello.
The thing is,
hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, who's this?
Hey, this is Ken, Mike.
Hi, Ken, where are you from?
Virginia, Dumfries.
Hi, Ken.
Back about 3 years ago, my parents had me made some brownies for them, but they were, as you could say, special weed brownies, and my dad ate some, and he got sick from it. Hey, I know you never experimented with any kind of...
Please, come on. That's only like in 1,000 movies.
Son, will you please make us some brownies?
I like it when your crap detector goes off, because when yours goes off, you dispatch them quicker.
Sorry. I mean, isn't that the plot of, like, I just see that on that 70s show also?
Yeah. You know what? See, when we're doing this, I'm always the one that's the crap. And when he said, hey, Mike, that was the, you know, thing. I better direct this to him.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's your name? Hi.
Chrissy.
Chrissy, where are you from?
I'm originally from Baltimore. I'm in Vienna right now.
All right. Chrissy, what doesn't your dad know?
In 1991, when I was discharged from the Army, my father thought I was discharged for medical purposes because I had an injury to my foot when I was in the Army. But I was really discharged because I was pregnant, and a week later I had an abortion, and he has no idea about that. To this day, he still thinks I got out of the military for medical.
You know what? Abortion's not our bag, baby. Thank you, though. Thank you. Mike,
thanks for coming clean with us.
What do we have? I mean, I know we got the guy who allegedly blew up his car. What else do we have?
We have a pattern that that happens quite often. We get a couple of ones that are not as over the top as the later ones that turn out to be BS.
Right.
But they call early, and the two guys that we talked to at the beginning was the guy who made it with his father's girlfriend.
Not bad.
And then Mark, the other guy who was stealing his father's Viagra to give to his friends so they could heighten their sexual experience.
All right, I think we have three finalists, because I'm going to include the guy who blew up his car.
JT.
Yeah, just because I want to still try to call the dad to see if we're being totally BS'd or what.
But those are our finalists. I'm not sure the name of the first man, but he was the guy that banged his father's girlfriend.
All right, you know, we're going to give everybody one more break to come around with the stories to see if there's anything better.
Very good.
Then we'll select a story and we'll make the call. 877-365-3636.
That was 8 years from now.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm sorry, Jim. Have Tina bring me up my coffee.
If only we could fly.
Then let's make it this one. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me get an update very quickly from my wife.
Hello, boo-boo.
On the streets of New York.
Oh, she's found one. I can tell by the tone of her voice.
Did you find one?
I'm feeling good. I found a number of nice ones and would have a little spare bedroom for the boys to stay in. You know, the guys there with you.
Oh, great. Oh, Christ. No thank you on that.
We'll be right up.
No thank you on that. Are you done with the realtor now?
No, I'm done with her. I'm going back to the hotel.
All right. Fantastic. And what is...
All I know, I'll make sure that they have air conditioning and cable, and I know you're set.
Right. That's all I care about.
That's all that really matters.
So as far as... Are we about ready to be New York residents, then?
I'm ready. I got my checkbook with me.
Part-time New York residents? Certainly not full-time New York residents.
And it's right. And I'm in the middle of... I look around me, and there is such interesting shopping. I'm surrounded by it. I'm so excited.
That's important to me, to be surrounded by interesting shopping.
It will be.
Yeah.
All right, sweetie.
Yeah, we should might work that into the price of the rent.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye. Love you.
I love you. I'm on that high.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, boo-boo.
She's flying.
Yeah.
She's spending your money.
Listen to that.
She is flying.
Wow. You know, I can't talk about everything about why we're looking for a place up here in New York.
Now, I was watching you because I'm curious about this, naturally, and I noticed that you seemed okay. Are you... but now are you a little freaked?
I'm fine with it as long as it's done. What I don't know is if it's being done on the scale that my wife and I had talked about.
Right.
Or if it's being done on the scale that my wife normally likes doing things at. and I won't find that until we get off the air. She just called 2 seconds before we went back on the air to say, oh, I had a great day. I found a couple of places. I know you like them.
Right.
You know, we'll talk about it tonight.
Very exciting.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but when it's all done... You won't have to go through the pesky hotel experience, and I know you hate
that. And that's the goal, just to get a place.
Right, and of course I love the hotel experience. I could live in a hotel.
What it means for me really is, finally, a guma. Finally. I'll have
a kept woman.
Yes. It'll be my FB place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'll have a place for my FB.
Be a house sitter, permanent. All up here, gentlemen.
All I got to do is find an FB now.
Sure.
So
it'll make the other trips we come up here more interesting.
Any of you FBs out there interested?
Yes.
Go to the website. Take a look at me. I'm not much to look at, but I'll have a nice stabbing, Gavin.
Absolutely, and you know your way around a bed.
Yeah,
sure.
who am I kidding? Listen, that apartment is really going to be for one member of our family.
Yes.
You just talked to her.
That apartment won't need any furniture because it'll be loaded with packages.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how many days a week I'll end up spending there.
Would you seriously, if you were going to estimate within the next couple of months, or let's say the next year, who would use that more?
She will.
It will be hers.
I guarantee she will. She's more into it than I am.
Yes. But you know, been into it from the very beginning.
You know, I said to her today when she was talking about this, because I finally agreed to go along with it, because obviously we've got other things happening for
us. Right,
we might have to have a little more presence in New York. I said to her, you remind me of Joan Crawford. And she said, why?
She knocks out the wall.
Yeah, I said, think of that movie where, you know, her husband says, hey, Pally, we got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're spending money. I don't have money. And she says, I'm doing this for you. I'm turning this into your show place.
You have to have a first-class resident.
Yeah,
the president of Pepsi-Cola.
Right, I get this way. I'm not a president of Pepsi-Cola. I'm a low-rung disc jockey at Viacom.
Well, but you want cable and an air conditioner, and it sounds like you might have it.
Yeah, that's all I need. So anyway, that's the update on living in New York at least part-time.
Absolutely.
We'll see what happens. Now, listen, we have one more round of guys, and I think girls also, for what my father doesn't know, and then we're going to pick a finalist.
Very good.
Hello, who's this? Don Mike Show.
Hey, this is Alan. I was hoping it wasn't too late for one of the father stories.
No, it's never too late. Alan, where are you calling from?
Virginia. I'm in Virginia right now.
All right. Alan, what doesn't your dad know?
Well, when I think it was 86, went to a party, and they were out of town. Me and my friend, we hooked up with three or four girls. We ended up going back to my camper. I lived in a little camper there on my parents' property. Well, we ended up going in, and I pried up this garage door. It's one of the old style that lifts straight out instead of up.
Mm-hmm.
We pried up and opened this garage door, and we got in his liquor cabinet and kind of went to town. I ended up getting some on his bed and everything, and he never knew anything about it that I know of.
Don't sweat it.
Then they went for a dip in the cement pond.
Don't sweat it. I do like living in a camper on Mom and Dad's property.
Well, did you hear that guy?
Yeah.
Why don't we give him the spare bedroom? He can live in the camper.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hello?
Don and Mike.
Who's this?
This is Andrew.
Andrew, where are you from?
California.
Andrew, what doesn't your dad know?
My senior year, getting ready to go out into our graduation party. My buddy Derek and I are backing out of the driveway, ran over his favorite dog, Rocky.
Killed
ran
the
him
dog?
Over. Yeah, killed the dog. Jumped out. Was scared as hell. Didn't know what to do.
Right.
Threw it in the trunk. Jammed to the party. Proceeded to get drunk. When he called me to find out where the dog was, because I was the last one to leave out of the garage, I said, I don't know. Must have ran away. And got away with it.
All right, you know, we always keep the dead dog guys just in case.
Yeah, you always do. You know, it's a coming clean thing. And how do you think your dad will react after all these years?
It's only been 8 years. No, I'm kidding. It was 94, so.
Okay. All right.
He has a new favorite dog. I might get a beating when I see him again, but
well, what did you do with the dog carcass?
Well, we had parent chauffeurs meet us at a grocery store, and they drove us to the party from there. That way we weren't driving. And we just dumped it in a dumpster behind it.
Behind the party?
Behind the grocery store where we got picked up.
Oh, so you carried it?
Yeah.
You walked?
No. We drove with it in our trunk to the grocery store.
What kind of dog?
Don't you feel like a parent sometimes when you're talking to these people?
I'm trying to get the details. What kind of dog was Rocky?
It was a German Shepherd.
Okay,
hold on. It's not as bad as you guys make it sound.
No, you're a finalist.
No, it's fine.
You're a finalist. You ran over your dad's dog.
Well, it's not like he did it on purpose.
Hold on a second.
No.
You didn't want to kill Rocky, did you?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. You didn't want to kill the dog, did you?
No, of course not.
Did you love the dog, too?
It was a family dog.
Did you love the dog, too?
Of course we did. The whole family did.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
He's a
finalist.
Yeah.
I'll take a dog murderer, though, a finalist. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hello?
Who's this?
Juan.
Hey, Juan, where are you from?
Stockton, California.
Juan, what doesn't your dad know?
Well, when I used to live at home when I was like 14 and 15, when they used to leave the house, I should go sneak in a room and sniff my stepmom's panties. And my dad's a pastor, and you know, I don't know what he'll do if I tell him.
You know, this is so dumb. I think this guy's a finalist too, right? Your dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
He used to sneak into the bedroom and sniff your mom's panties.
Stepmom's panties.
I like the simplicity of it.
Hold on, please, Juan. You're a finalist.
All right.
Hold on a second.
Finalist? Who are you kidding?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Get his advice.
Don, you're not a low-rung disc jockey.
But yes, I am. But Ken, is this Ken?
Yeah, Ken from Sparks, Nevada.
Ken, what is it your dad doesn't know?
Well, I knocked up my former sister-in-law.
Well, you know, this has potential, but you've got to give us more details.
Yeah, when I was 15 years old, my dad married his now ex-wife, and her daughter was absolutely hot, and we hit it off and started having sex like rabbits. And she ended up getting knocked
up.
Would
be a stepsister?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be
a stepsister. What did I say?
You said sister-in-law.
Isn't that the same thing?
No. Lisa just wrote on the computer to me that you told her that it was your stepsister, not your sister-in-law.
No, it is my stepsister. My dad's wife's daughter.
Yeah, Lisa says his story's changing since she talked to him.
Good.
Okay, hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like you snipped his stepmom's panties.
Or he drove over the dog.
Right, kill the dog.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Or he stole his dad's Viagra.
Hello.
Hello.
And don't forget about blowing the car up.
Right.
Which is still in there.
And the guy that banged his father's girlfriend.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is John in Rochester. How you guys doing?
John, Rochester, New York. WHTK.
That's our
radio station. Well, what doesn't your dad know?
Well, your first caller, I also had sex with my father's girlfriend. Only it happened a little bit different. As when I lived in Phoenix. Probably in 1992. I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not on the phone very often.
Not only is it a copycat caller.
Right, exactly.
But, you know, if you don't get the details...
It's going to be a half an hour before we got the details on that story.
We already got a guy who alleges he had sex with his dad's girlfriend.
Sure, and a guy who snipped his mom's stepmom's panties.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Named Juan.
Hello.
Juan.
Radio God.
Who's this?
This is the Rodman.
Rod, where are you from?
Iowa.
Okay, Rod, what doesn't your dad know?
He doesn't know that him and my stepmom were getting divorced and nailed her three times.
Okay, now this is another the copycatter.
Hey, Rodman.
Hello, Don and Mike. Who's this? Hello.
Hello.
Who's this?
Susan.
Susan, where are you from?
I'm Alexandria.
What doesn't your dad know, Susan?
He does not know that about a year and a half ago, I came into your studios and got my genitals pierced on the air.
Wow.
Well,
come on.
Yeah.
You're talking about running over dogs, snipping mother's panties, having sex with the mom.
I was just flashing back to the day that happened.
But before we get to the finals, let me just try the one dad.
JT's father?
Yeah.
The whole car
blowed up thing?
Right. Which I still think is BS.
So do I.
I thought about it, and I really do believe it's my crap detector's going
on. I don't know. I can't say yes or no.
You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in...
Maybe I misdialed. Hold on.
I don't know. It was new. Oh, it was 8 years ago from now.
It's not a win.
Oh.
I don't know what the prize is, though. But I called...
He burned up the car that hadn't been built yet so he could get a newer model. Wow.
8 years from ago for now.
Right.
Well, if we get an answering machine, this guy's out of the contest.
Hello, Dick Perry here.
Oh, there he is. Hello, Mr. Perry. Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show. We are,
Wait a minute, I can't hear you. Hold on just a minute.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He's going to fix that.
You know what? I'm afraid we're going to have to make this guy a finalist.
Right.
Okay, maybe we just might have to. Again now.
Maybe we might just have to vote on the one that we like the best.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike radio show.
We're on the air right now, sir. How you doing?
Okay.
Do you have a son named JT?
Yes, down in the Maryland area.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We are playing a Father's Day game, and what we're going to need to do is get your son back on the line with us. Can you just tell us roughly
8 years ago?
8 years ago. Did your son's car mysteriously get stolen?
Yes, I think so.
And did it get burned up?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
It did. And did you receive insurance money from that?
I think we did, yes.
Mm-hmm. How much? How much money did you receive?
I haven't any idea. I think it was close to the whole value of the car.
Value of the car. Well, you know, this guy sounds like he's on the level. Maybe the other guy really didn't tell the truth. Can I just ask you what kind of car it was? Do you remember that, sir?
Probably a Chevrolet Camaro would be my guess. Probably worth around $25,000.
Wow, okay.
Coming together.
You know what? Okay, we are going to have to...
Well, we got to get JT on the line.
Yeah,
right,
we got to get JT on the line.
Because JT... Well, we got to tell the dad what this is all about, too.
Yeah, hold on. Let me get your dad... Oh, brother. We're playing... Let me ask you a question. Do you consider your son to be bright?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you really?
Because he's playing a game called What My Father Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Him.
Right.
For Father's Day, where people are asked to call the show and... tell a secret that the dad's not aware of and come clean. And JT called with a secret that's pretty significant that you're not aware of.
Okay.
That might involve, of course, without giving out any names or cities, might involve some kind of insurance fraud.
Okay.
Would you be all right with that story being revealed?
Yeah, I would assume that it could have happened.
Yeah, JT said... Well, since we don't have JT on the line, we might as well tell the dad what happened. JT called us and said that a friend of his burned up the car.
Okay.
Because JT wanted the money.
Okay.
And our concern with calling you with this was that he was in some way, you know, implicating himself, being as you got money from the insurance company for a car that...
Did he give it to him after that?
Well, I think we just... got a new car, but I don't remember
was it your son's?
Whether it cost exactly the same.
Was it your
I don't
son's?
Think we walked away with any money.
Was it your son's car?
Yeah, it was his car.
And he drove the car. Was it another Camaro?
I think he got another one or something like that.
Yeah. Well, listen, this guy seems to have no problem with it.
Absolutely.
well, listen, I tell you what, sir, you're very nice to talk to us. Do you like Starbucks coffee?
Sure. We don't have any near us, but I can.
Oh, really?
I can certainly get to one.
Well, yeah. I would love to give you a frappuccino a day a month from Starbucks.
Okay.
And thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Okay, thank you.
And you might want to have a conversation with your son JT about all this.
Okay.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, who are we to say? But
might be time for JT to turn himself in.
Because our thought is if your son had the car blown up. And then went to the insurance company and collected money.
And then got another of the same car.
I mean, that's maybe in some states insurance fraud.
Yeah, maybe you want to talk to him about that.
Yeah, okay.
But you seem like a very nice fella.
Yes.
And frankly, we only called you because...
we didn't believe JT.
Okay, are you going to send me something?
Going to send you some gift certificates for the coffee.
Okay, very good.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on, please. Hold on. Well, the apple does not fall far from the tree.
Are you right about that?
Okay.
Well, you know, that's it. I believe him now.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't win the contest. He doesn't win the contest. We'll give the dad a prize. And who knows? Maybe if one of the other guys doesn't end up being as great.
Right.
We'll end up giving the prize to JT.
I don't see that guy at a wrestling match, though.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? I see the guy, like, just maybe lying on his couch.
Okay.
All right. I don't know.
I don't know. And he didn't seem to have a problem with insurance fraud.
Oh, you murdered someone? All right.
Mike, who are the finalists we have? And we'll have to make this decision during the commercials.
We have the original gentleman who made love to his father's girlfriend.
Right.
We have Mark, who stole his father's Viagra and gave it to his friend.
Yeah.
We had Andrew, who killed his dad's dog, Rocky, in 1994.
Right.
And we have Juan, who snipped his stepmom's panties.
All right, those are the... we better see where we stand right now, because we might have to have some kind of a tiebreaker during the break.
Absolutely.
I vote for the guy who ran over the dog.
Mike? I think I'm going to go with, even though I really, my crap detector's going off, I like Juan, who sniffed his stepmom's panties, followed by the original guy, who made it.
A first choice, though.
All right, I'm going to go with the original guy who banged his father's girlfriend.
Okay, Buzz?
Then I'll take Juan with the stepmother's
Buzz. Buzz, don't just take it because someone else, is that really your first choice?
No, that was my choice.
And Robbie, what's your choice?
Gotta go with Juan.
Ah, right.
Juan. Very good. Juan brings an element to it, which is interesting.
Okay, but again, if his dad really is a pastor,
uh-huh.
Right? You know,
yeah. And that's the one where my crap detector went off.
Me too.
It's tough. They're all. Hey, you know what? Why don't we call your guy?
Well, no, I don't want to bully my way into.
You're not bullying. You're not bullying. They're all pretty good.
Let me ask people what they think. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm still a little embarrassed, but.
No. We're not taking any more calls. Can you just tell me, of the stories that we've selected, which you would go with? The guy who ran over his dog, the guy who had sex with his stepmom, the guy who stole his dad's Viagra, or the guy who sniffed his stepmother's panties?
Viagra, I suppose.
Yeah, Viagra's
a good one, too.
All right, hello. Don and Mike, hi. Which of those four do you like best? The guy who ran over the dog, the guy who had sex with his stepdad's girlfriend or his
father's girlfriend, or the guy that stole the Viagra, or the guy that sniffed his stepmom's panties?
Which of those do you like?
The panties. I'm a panty guy.
The panty guy. Okay.
Everybody likes panties.
All right, hello. Don and Mike, which of those stories do you like the best?
You got to go with Juan. He was so offended when you suggested it was actually his mother instead of his stepmother.
The panty guy. Okay, all right. Hello. I mean, I can be swayed on this. Don and Mike, hello.
Hello?
Which do you like the best?
Oh, yeah, this is Juan. They hung up on me.
Juan, we have your number. We'll call you back if we decide to use you.
You have to call my dad. He's at church right now. He's at his office at church.
Are you telling the truth, Juan?
I'm not lying. That's the truth.
Now my crap detector is right. He's at church. He's saying mass right now.
Yeah, froze.
Yeah. Right. Liar. Now you're a liar.
I'm not a liar.
I'll
give you the number.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
What is the church? What is the religion?
Christian.
Christian. There you go. Christian.
Christian.
Christian religion.
The Christian religion, Don.
Yeah, Protestant, whatever you guys want to say.
What denomination?
I don't know. They believe in Jesus and everything like that.
Well, now, wouldn't you know better if your dad was a pastor?
Yeah, I used to drive the church bus.
Right.
But you don't remember the religion.
Yeah, Protestant.
Protestant.
Protestant
is not a religion.
Or I don't know.
Right.
You don't know. Your dad is a pastor, yet you don't know what religion he preaches.
No.
I
know it's like, you know, Jesus, the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
That's the
Bible. Sorry.
No. The truth.
Juan,
I'll give you the number. You can call him right now.
Right. We'll call your friend who's sitting there in the room over next to yours.
Well, what do you guys want? What do you want me to say? I probably know a lot about church.
I want you to say that you're not telling the truth.
That's the truth, though.
Sure it is.
All right. Hold on, Juan.
All right.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I'm out on that one.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Lost us.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, which of those do you like?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the guy who boinked his dad's friend or whatever.
That's my new one.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Which do you like best?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, which do you like?
You got to go with the guy tapping his stepmom.
Okay, all right. Hello, Don and Mike. Which do you like best?
I should say it's not stepmom, though. It's girlfriend.
Hello, which do you like the best?
happen.
Hello.
Stepmom. Hello.
Don and Mike, which do you like the best?
You got to go with the guy that porked his dad's girlfriend.
Okay. Right. Hello, Don and Mike, which do you like the best?
The one that the guy has the sex with his stepmom or whatever.
Stepmom is the girlfriend.
Okay. A new winner.
But that's, all right, that's what we're going with.
That's the guy.
But just in case, Hey, Juan, buddy.
Hello?
Yeah, don't go far, Juan.
All right.
Okay.
Stay there.
Just in case. Yeah, we're keeping our eye on you.
All right. We'll make the call right after this.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
All right. The boy was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. There's only two kinds of guys who wear those shirts. Gay guys and big fat party animals. And Bart doesn't look like a big fat party animal to me.
So if you wore a Hawaiian shirt, it wouldn't be gay.
Right.
Yeah, Dirty Apes, John and Mike.
All right, so we go through all the trouble of picking the guy who we think is going to be the finalist.
That's after weeding through, 12, 13 calls.
Yeah. Let me just call this guy again and see if we still get voicemail.
Is this the original guy that said he banged his father's girlfriend?
Right.
Lisa just came in and said she was calling him during the break, and he's getting voicemail.
Pat, you can leave me a message.
Hey, Pat.
Yeah,
right. Pat, call us. Let us know what's going on.
Or just wait for the tone.
Hey, Pat, it's Don and Mike. Where the F are you?
What's going on? You'd be our winner if we could get in touch with you.
All right, then, if he is out of the running, because he has to make the call to his dad, we don't make the call.
Right.
Then who do we go with second?
Well, Juan was going to be our second choice, but we determined he was a crap guy. He was lying. And then
still, that might be fun to call them.
We've got Mark, who's stealing his father's Viagra and giving it to his friends.
What about the guy who killed his dad's dog?
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Can we take a revote?
He's on here. Yeah.
If the choices are the guy who stole his dad's Viagra,
that'd be Andrew who killed the dog in 1994,
or Andrew who killed the dog. Are those the only two we got left? Because we think
the Viagra and the dead dog. Well, I'd do the dog then.
I would do the dog also.
I vote for the dog.
Okay.
We've done dead dogs before.
It's usually,
the poor dog. I mean, we all feel sorry for the dog, Rocky.
All right, well, let's call Andrew to see if he's willing to call his dad. Don't forget, they put the dog in a dumpster.
Before they went to a party.
That's awful. We're trying to call this guy Andrew back.
Hello.
Andrew, it's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, glad to hear you.
Well, listen, the first guy, he just left voicemail there, so we couldn't get a hold of him.
I've been listening. I can't believe these guys aren't answering the phone.
The guy Juan, who obviously was lying, said his dad is simply a Christian pastor.
Yeah, he can't even tell what his dad's religion is.
Yeah, he's out. So it's pretty much down to you and the guy who stole his dad's Viagra.
Okay.
So is your dad's name Jeff?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to call him right now.
And then you got to handle it. You're coming clean on this.
I'm going to try.
All right. Well, no, not try. Andrew?
For you, Don. I'll do it just for you, buddy.
Well, no, don't do it for me. I mean, do it for the memory of the dead dog.
Yeah.
And do it to win the contest.
We'll never forget Rocky. His picture's in the hallway.
Oh, okay. No. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay.
Poor Rocky.
Okay.
Come on.
94 wasn't that long ago. This will, I'm sure Andrew will feel better, and in time, maybe Dad will feel better. That's the important thing.
Well, now, I'll have to figure out how to...
I hope Dad likes wrestling.
I still don't know how to conference these lines together. Let me see if I get through first.
Okay. Please, Robbie.
I'm so sensitive with these phones.
I understand.
It's a delicate ballet. Hello?
This is Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the air right now. Hope that's okay with you. Happy Father's Day. We have your son, Andrew, on the line. Would you like to speak to Andrew?
No.
You don't want to speak to your son?
No, I just saw him yesterday.
You really don't want to talk to him on the show?
Sure.
All right, okay, great. Let me put him on with
this. There's love here.
So I just press that, Robbie?
You have to put him on hold.
Okay, hold on, please, sir. Hold on, okay.
Hold.
Conference.
Yeah, you can touch them both up.
Here we go. Father and son together.
Andrew, we're here with your dad. Say hi to your dad.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. Oh, thanks. What's going on?
Listen, Jeff was telling us what a great dad you are.
Andrew was.
Yes, Jeff's the dad. And we're doing a contest called What My Dad Doesn't Know Won't Hurt Him.
It's a chance for a dad to win a prize, but, you know, the son has to come up with something you haven't known for a long time that he wants to clear the air about. So,
confession.
A confession.
Yes, right. So, Andrew.
Father's Day confession.
That's right. That's it, Andrew.
Lovely.
Andrew, go ahead. Go ahead, Andrew.
Andrew, I'm just going to say right now, I think you're already in trouble.
I'm going to make this as painless as possible.
Yeah, no, but please be honest, though, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew, you got it. I mean, that's why you do this, to tell your dad what's going on.
You got
to
tell him exactly what I told you guys. Derek and I, you know, when we were leaving to go to senior grad night, our party in Del Rio, when I was backing out of the garage, Rocky was behind my car, and I ran over him with the rear tires. And, scared out of my mind, Derek and I jumped out, looked, saw what happened. Without thinking about it, just scooped him up, threw him in the trunk. We drove to the meeting site where the parents were going to chauffeur us to the party. It was at Food Max, and we drove to the back immediately before we got picked up, threw Rocky in a dumpster, and that was the end of that.
Andrew, would you like to say anything else?
I miss Rocky. I miss him.
How about
in all this time, I thought he was just looking for a better place to live.
That sounds so real.
Andrew, would you like to apologize to your father?
I mean, it was an accident. I'm sorry.
Without being terribly brutal.
I was hoping I was over the 7-year limit here and I'd be okay.
Without being terribly brutal, I guess, Jeff, what Andrew was saying is that he killed the family dog, disposed of it in a dumpster, and has been lying to you about it for the last 8 years. And he couldn't live with himself.
And it's nice that his conscience finally got the better of him.
Well, but you know, there is a silver lining to this, Jeff.
Let me ask you. Do you still have a picture of Rocky the dog in your house?
I'm sure somewhere. Yeah.
Hanging in the hall.
Yeah, a big one with lights on it.
No, is there really a picture of the dog? You know,
no, there is
Jeff
not.
Jeff doesn't seem all that banged up about this. That's all right.
Yeah, you know, Andrew, your dad doesn't. I thought you said your dad loved this dog.
Well, he does. He was. I think he's the only dog.
He did.
I drove around looking for him sleeping on Tully Road, and he wasn't there. So, you know, we'd get over it.
You get over it. And you have another dog now, right?
That I do.
Okay.
Just as dumb.
Well, then let me say.
Just as dumb.
As
Rocky
perhaps,
or Andrew.
You know, if there's one thing.
No, not as me.
If there's one thing Andrew probably took a little creative license with, it was describing the relationship between Jeff and Rocky.
It sounds like maybe it's not like Timmy and Lassie, the relationship these two have.
Not exactly.
Jeff,
I've been searching for closure.
Okay.
Listen to this.
What the hell? Well, Jeff, let me tell you what Andrew has won for you. Are you a fan of the wrestling?
The wrestling?
Yeah,
wrestling. Are you a wrestling fan?
On TV?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay, well, great. Figured. Well, enjoy this. Andrew has won a trip.
Where are you guys at? In Bakersfield?
Oh, no. We do the show, national show. We're in New York.
Oh, you have wrestling out there, too?
Well, sure. Where are we calling? Are you in Bakersfield?
No, I'm in Modesto.
Modesto, California. Well, you and your son.
Right. The Central Valley.
You and your son have won a trip for two to the New York area, to New Jersey, to see WWF King of the Ring on June 24th, courtesy of WWF, Comcast, and Cox Cable. Your trip includes round-trip airfare, two nights hotel accommodations, and tickets to the event.
So you can come out and have a New York experience.
You can learn to love it, Dad. I swear, you'll like it.
Do it for Rocky. But I really think Andrew is the one that really wanted it.
Yeah, I think so. Treat your dad like a king on Father's Day by ordering WWF King of the Ring Sunday, June 24th at 8 p.m. Call your Comcast or Cox system to order now.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you a question. Are there any other kids in the family that would enjoy this wrestling trip as much or maybe more than Andrew?
No, don't even try that.
Really? Now, Andrew, I'm talking to your father. I'm not talking to you.
I know. I'd have to take it up to vote. Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody else there.
Well, just remember, Jeff, that's your trip and to do with what you wish. And, you know, Andrew was the one that ran over the dog.
To go to New York City?
Yes, they go to New York.
Right.
A trip I'll to be New there.
Oh, he'll be there.
He'll be there.
All right, he'll come.
That's the dad.
Okay, well, Jeff, have a great time. And Andrew, don't you feel better that you finally told your dad you ran over the dog?
I'm afraid to go home.
Okay, yeah. All right, guys, well, happy Father's Day.
Hey, thanks, fellas.
Okay, you're very welcome. Hold on. Hold on, please. We need information from both of you.
Right.
All right.
Hold on a second.
That was so touching.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Frasier and Eddie is what it was.
So, frankly, yeah,
sounded like.
The dad didn't seem to give enough, really.
Well, you know, and that's what also gave it credibility. Did you find that? You know, the dad
said,
I found closure.
Yeah, right.
That was just as dumb. That was it.
Gave up looking for him.
Sorry.
All right, it's time for the news and comments. Hey, Lisa, they're on line 5, line 6, please.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
what a mess.
One man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz
me. He made it up.
And you know, really, you got 2-for-1 there today.
Sure.
We were also able to call the guy and tell him about the insurance fraud.
Absolutely.
And he took that news equally well.
Yeah, we did some good. I mean, people ought to call us John Walsh today.
What is wrong with people?
Hold on. Are people calling to tell us we've been BS? Hello, Don and Mike show.
I was calling you before from a New Jersey strip bar, but you guys, you never picked up the phone. Now I'm driving home. I was wondering.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I was just wondering, the next time I'm there, like, I could definitely call you, but you got to go.
All right, from a New Jersey strip bar? Absolutely, sir. Call anytime. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hope he's close by.
Hello.
They're working on passing a law that prohibits drivers from using cell phones while they're drunk.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I think the father with the car story was a fraud.
Really?
Yeah, I think he sounded a little bit too much over the top like an old man, a senile old man.
At least it says a lot of people are calling saying we've just been...
You mean the JT story was a fraud?
No, the other one, the one that we just had.
They were both car stories, though. That's what I'm confused about.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's Mark, the Viagra guy.
Yeah, Mark.
Well, I hate to get passed up for that weak-ass story that I don't even think was legitimate.
Sour grapes are not very pleasant, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
You know, I'm glad you didn't take Juan, because I live in the Central Valley, and there's not a Mexican out here who is a Catholic.
Oh, now stop it.
Get out of here. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, you guys messed up, dude. You guys should have believed that Beaner. I mean, he was telling the truth.
Believe who?
That Beaner. A Mexican dude that called.
The Beaner.
Oh, my God. Nice slur.
The Beaner. Hey, Rob, that's a new one for you to write down.
Yeah, I'll put it on my website.
The Beaner.
Hey, Beaner. He's Tom.
Yeah, you and Tom, the owner of the building.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Go to a convention together.
Hello.
What's up, man?
What?
Hey, I was trying to get in on the thing about calling your dad.
Yeah, well, it's too late. We're done with that now. Thank you, though.
Dang, I was in there, and then Lisa cut me off.
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello? And speak to us.
Oh, I don't know what's happening here.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, Don and Mike show?
Yes, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I really had a good one that they wouldn't let me put on the air.
Right. Well, sorry, we're done with that. Okay, listen, some people agree with us, some don't.
Some do, some don't, some are late to the party.
And Rob has learned a new word. Beaner.
Oh, my God. That's what Rob needed.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight? Is your lead story tonight that Rob has learned a new word?
No. That's another everyday occurrence. Tonight, not even cancer sticks to the Teflon Don.
Ooh. Hey.
Huh?
Is this good news for my man?
Good news for your man.
I think you'll be pleased. For G-Money?
Uh-huh.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody, for Gotti News.
Stay tuned. Number one news. On the Don and Mike Show.
Joe, whoa, Joe, Super Joe, slow down. Joe, slow down. I got to play the news tease. Super Joe, here we go. Stay tuned
for news and comment.
News
coming
and comments.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show, that was very
professional.
Okay, now go to break, Joe.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
And that weak-ass story is the best you can come up with.
The kings of Cunnypalooza, Don Geronimo and Michael Vera.
Ready now for news with Buzz. News and comment tonight brought to you by eGars.com, your source for cigar gifts for Father's Day. Order online or call 877-81. Egars. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. I believe I was the first to tell you guys that John Gotti is dying.
Yes.
So let me be the first, among the first to tell you.
Heartless bastard.
Let me be among the first to tell you then. This will balance it out. It's too early to make arrangements.
That's right.
Friends and lawyers of the Teflon Don say his death is not imminent and that his head and neck cancer is in remission.
Yeah. Rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Head cancer and neck cancer.
Head and neck cancer is what they're calling it.
I'm not laughing, Mr. Gotti.
Not at all. No, you're
not laughing.
No. The word is remission, and we're delighted.
You remember, he likes to get letters, and you still have time to write him. Reporters earlier this week put Gotti near death with infections and chemotherapy complications, but quoting a friend of the mob leader, there is no death watch. John is not on his deathbed.
Do you know about Gotti? I guess it was sometime over the weekend where the enablers were up at our house.
Right.
The British people. And for the very first time, Gary walked into my cave,
right,
where I've got on the wall, you know, the gold records and the right. Star Trek stuff and the Batman stuff, all my memorabilia. And he's looking around the room and he said, "Say, mate, who's that?" Because, you know, for my birthday a couple of years ago, Ralph actually hired an artist
as a goof,
commissioned an artist
as a serious goof,
as a serious gift,
as a tribute,
as to give you a picture of someone you
to
love.
To make a portrait for me of John Gotti.
Right.
He had it matted and framed.
Right.
And I proudly hang it in my my office, my den at home. And he said,
Rob's never-ending quest to fuel the evil on this show.
And he said, "Say, mate, who's that?" And I said, "Simply one of the greatest Americans ever, Mr. John Gotti." And this is lost on this guy, Gary. He says,
right,
"He's a mobster." I said, "Right." He says, "Why do you have his picture up?" I said, "Because I'm a fan." And it's lost on me. He said, "Where'd you get it?" I said, "It was a present." "From who?" "From Rob A."
No, well, no laughter at all.
No. He says, "Why?" "Because Rob knows I like him." It's like he says, "Okay."
Right.
And then he started asking me about the Star Trek stuff on the wall.
No need for any explanation.
No explanation, but get well, John Gotti.
Always leave them off balance. That's what the motto is in your house.
Get well, JG.
Right. Sure. Another witness has confirmed that former Knicks star Patrick Ewing did get oral sex from a dancer at the Gold Club in Atlanta.
Roger Cossack is all over this story.
He is indeed. I was watching Roger Cossack today with Greta Van Susteren, and he looked like he was feeling well.
Tomorrow on the show, mm-hmm, make a note, we should try to call Roger Cossack.
Yes, you should.
Because remember, a couple of nights ago when I saw him at a charity function with Rob when he had a drink or 100,
right?
That's the first thing he said was, he said, "Are you all over that Patrick Ewing thing?"
Yeah.
You gotta be all over that.
Where the hell are you?
You gotta be all over that.
I couldn't.
So what?
So what?
She says it happened. This latest witness says this happened in front of the club's owner, who's on trial for providing sex to stars like Patrick Ewing.
Stars!
To boost business for the Gambino crime family.
Patrick Ewing!
Now, the dancer who testified yesterday says she complained about the sex and drug activity at the club, but she says the owner told her to mind her own business. She quotes him as saying, "You won't complain when we're sitting on the front row at Madison Square Garden." In the meantime, Toronto Raptors star Antonio Davis is suing another witness in this case for $50 million. He says that testimony is not true, that he too had sex with the dancers.
Stays!
He didn't have a lot of luck as a talk show host, but now Magic Johnson is thinking about taking up politics.
How you doing, Magic?
Oh, I'm
What's your take on the Los Angeles? I know you laugh pretty much every question. Let me ask you that. How do you feel about the many problems Los Angeles still faces? Earthquakes. You got the problem with the electricity. Right. You still have race problems.
Oh, yeah. I was in an earthquake once, and it went, and I just said,
Well, Magic Johnson is telling Los Angeles' incoming mayor not to get too comfortable in the job.
Don't don't get too comfortable because I'm going to, the former Lakers star says that if the new guy's doing well 4 years from now, he'll wait. But Johnson says if the mayor-elect Jim Hahn is in trouble by then, he'll run sooner.
I'll wait.
Quoting Magic, if I, quoting Magic, if I see candidates that are not for the people, then I'm going to jump in.
Yeah.
Got a break.
Oh, yeah.
Play it again, Joe. Was that the real Magic?
Thank you, Joe.
We will be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
It'll be money.
With a reminder not to say yes to the no-no, the Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow, everybody loves the fun of a mystery guest.
Oh, it's going to be exciting.
Plus, the Lakers are about to win the championship. We'll talk to Snapper Jones, who was involved in that ridiculous halftime Weakest Link show, the NBA Finals. Also tomorrow, P. Diddy will be on.
P. Diddy will be here taking your phone calls and answering your questions.
P. Diddy will get lots of airtime tomorrow, and I don't want to hype this up too much, but just say a very special low-budget Jeff Bardee. And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Louis Farrakhan says white parents hate rap because it's lured their children away from white leadership. Farrakhan at a hip-hop summit here in New York.
I know you don't like him, Rob. Don't shake your head like that.
Stop it, Rob. Here in New York, Farrakhan said yesterday that rap artists are now the true leaders of the world and that that has the white establishment running scared. He told rappers and rap record executives all over the world, the youth are being moved by you. But he told them that the hip-hop makers, that with that power comes responsibility, which is exactly the point Summit organizer Russell Simmons has been trying to get across. Farrakhan told him that rap music needs to enlighten people and that it can't do that by using profanity and degrading women.
Rob, you didn't have to write not on the air. Okay, for what you just wrote down for.
Yeah.
Rob wrote a joke down, but he wrote not for air.
Yeah, don't.
Thanks, Rob. See you, Buzz.
Oh, Rob.
Glad you cleared that up for Don. Thanks.
Don's
very much.
Don's not able to self-edit, Rob.
Thanks.
President Clinton ditched Jocelyn Elders as his Surgeon General largely because...
I love it when you protect us, Rob.
Clinton dropped Jocelyn Elders as his Surgeon General mostly because she was pro-masturbation. Clinton didn't need that kind of talk.
Yeah, I'm pro-masturbation.
Amen.
And I'm a pro at it.
Right.
I mean, if there was such a thing as a professional masturbators league.
Right.
I've told you for years, I'm the freaking Mark McGuire of masturbators.
Do you think you'd be the leader? Do you think you'd win the Triple Crown?
Yeah, right now, who's leading it? Barry Bonds?
Get a Triple Crown. You know, you got the twig and the berries.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown.
I'd win hands down.
Hands down.
I'm the Barry Bonds of masturbation. I do it constantly.
Yeah, but I know, you know, I'm a golfer, and I will tell you, the secret is in the grip.
Clinton ditched Jocelyn Elders over the masturbation thing. He didn't need that kind of controversy with what he was going through politically. So he replaced her with a guy named David Satcher, who's still the Surgeon General, even under a new president from the opposing party. And President Bush may soon regret this because Satcher is about to come out with a report that will call for more sex education during an administration that really just wants to teach abstinence. Satcher won't even let the White House get a sneak peek at the report. But the New York Post says it will declare, and I quote, the right to sexual pleasure, including autoeroticism, as a source of physical, psychological, intellectual, and spiritual well-being. The report's due out at the end of this month.
Well, you practically get turgid with those stories, don't you?
Do you mind?
Do you know that I've been so horny recently, I can get my jerk on without even watching a movie?
I think
it's all imagination.
You know, that's good. That's good when you can do that. I think everybody can do that once in a while. But
I've been doing it all the time, though.
And I
really
think it's the coming of summer. I think it's the warm weather.
I don't know what it is. It's just, I've just been sitting down and going, damn, I don't even have to spend $10.99 on DirecTV now.
You know, that's very convenient because you can do it anywhere.
Oh, don't I know?
You can do it in the backyard.
Oh. Yeah, and you were just commenting on the state of the bathroom here at WNEW. Yeah.
I'm about to throw up.
Wow, that's
I am going to throw up. And incidentally, I will be speaking to Ken tomorrow.
Right.
I've had it with this place. I mean, it's one thing to have a bathroom at a radio station, but for God's sake, is that ever touched by anyone?
No.
Oh, I was in there touching it.
Oh, God.
There's their answer.
Oh. It's not as simple as it sounds, but there'll soon be morning after pills for people who think they've been exposed to the AIDS virus. Doctors and nurses already take a special mix of AIDS drugs whenever they're accidentally exposed to the virus.
That's a bonus when there's a lot of alcohol involved.
The same morning.
Send that over to the Pegasus restaurant, Buzz.
Yes. The same morning after cocktails being used in San Francisco on people who aren't doctors or nurses with a 100% success rate.
What did I do last night? Oh, where are my pills?
My pills.
Big story in
the...
The New York papers today. Robert Gorgon was convicted yesterday of raping his girlfriend's daughter from the time the girl was 8 until she turned 21.
No.
Moments after, Gorgon was sentenced to 12 to 25 years for that.
He married
12 to 25 years? Jesus, why don't they shoot the guy?
Well, good point. But after he was sentenced over this long time crime, he then married his victim's mother right there in the same courthouse the same day he was sentenced.
Lovely.
Happened in Albany. One judge says criminals often marry before they go to prison so they can have conjugal visits. Gorgon and his bride deny the charges.
All right. Hold on, Buzz. Hold on. Time out, though. We got a break again. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show. Remember, WWDAMD, the Don and Mike Show.
Vikings, what would Don and Mike do?
Amen.
Live from New York tonight on WNEW, and here is Buzz again.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's been another day of manhole cover misery back in Washington. Georgetown's main drag is closed again, and the power's off for 1,600 homes and businesses.
Told you.
That means no refrigeration for the man who runs the ice cream parlor. Quoting him, they don't know what the F they're doing, referring to the power company.
What if Homo Joe knows Georgetown's big drag? Main drag.
He knows all the drags.
He knows the manhole.
Sorry.
And imagine what the Type A guests are saying at the Four Seasons, a $1,500 a night hotel that now has no air conditioning. The power company has been trying to keep citizens cool by handing out chunks of dry ice at the local gas station.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Yeah, that'll work.
The worst
you know, is. Really, it is time, I think, finally to put this on some sort of emergency level.
Hello, who's been saying that for 6 months?
Hello. One of the many reasons why, after you get this apartment in New York, get one in D.C. and run for mayor.
I told you. There's something wrong with that. And Rob, stop. It's not terrorism, Rob. It's not terrorism, please. It has nothing to do with Louis Farrakhan.
It sure has something to do with power use, though, because with all the hot weather, the air conditioners have been going on, and that has something to do with
it. But it happened in winter time, too.
But it's happened right now every day that we've had the hot days.
They think the reason that it happened again today is because they replaced some lines yesterday. They had all new equipment, and at 8 o'clock this morning, when they flipped the big switch to turn the system back on, it overloaded other old parts of the system been replaced.
That doesn't wash, because over the last 6 months, something like 27 manhole covers have exploded.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a lady interviewed from the service authority or something like that, one of the power companies, and she was saying that when they put the subways in certain areas, they were able to modernize. Uh-huh. And we wish that that would happen everywhere. It was the most ridiculous comment. She had nothing, no defense.
What does a sandwich shop have to do with this?
A sandwich shop?
Subways.
Oh, I don't know. The worst of it is the heat and humidity continue, and the power company says the juice may not be back on until Saturday.
Juice. Why'd you do it, juice?
Power.
Juice. OJ.
Homer Simpson's dough has made it into the dictionary. The new edition of the formerly stuffy Oxford English Dictionary defines dough as expressing frustration at the realization things have turned out badly or that one has said or done something foolish.
Is it D-O-H exclamation point?
D-O-H, no, just D-O-H.
Okay.
Dough! It's on the Oxford website. The company says it'll be a few years before that and 12 other new words make it into the print edition. Other new words and phrases include bad hair day, full Monty, and lifestyle drugs. Jay Leno says the June 21st edition of The Tonight Show will be shot in the dark.
What do you mean shoot in the dark? I really, I've always wanted to experiment, and I really think it's...
Someone say it's shot in the dark everywhere.
Yeah.
It's funny, all right.
Playing off the California power crisis, Leno says the show will be shot in the studio without light, monitors, or amplifiers.
Hi, Kev. This is Jay Leno. Listen, I want to see if we can tap into this whole power thing issue, and maybe we could do the show in the dark. I think it would really be timely, you know, and then we can talk about how there's no power out here in Los Angeles, in Burbank. I think it'll be funny, don't you?
NBC says the audience will help provide the light, probably with flashlights.
Yeah, have the audience. All right, listen, here's the deal.
That's crazy and kooky.
Hey, Kev, what do you think about this? Why don't we have this?
That's crazy and kooky.
We'll hand out a flashlight to our studio audience. It'll be really, really scary.
That's kooky and crazy, Jay.
Yeah, I'm crazy. And now I'll go jaywalking. Go ahead, Buzz. I know you're very eager to get those stories in today. Yes, go ahead.
The network says it got the idea when it, like other California businesses, was asked to cut back on energy use.
And you're crazy. And you're kooky.
I'm a crazy kooky guy, and then we'll have Joan Embry come out from the San Diego Zoo with lots of animals for me this past.
I'd like to say something. She's crazy and kooky. That seems to be all that Kevin Eubanks ever says.
Kev, thanks a lot. It's great. And good playing, as usual.
You're right. Crazy, you're kooky.
And Joan Embry.
Thank you, my brother.
Joan Embry is going to bring nocturnal animals for that particular show.
Oh, fantastic. Yes, there is.
NBC says one episode of The Tonight Show uses enough juice to power the average home for a month.
Wow. Yes, there is. A lot of power. You know, powering Kev's amp.
Kooky, crazy white man.
Thank you, Kev.
And speaking of average homes, word is Californians have cut their energy use by 11% since the energy crunch began there.
Hey, Kev, we're going to give the audience flashlights.
Oh.
What do you think of that?
Crazy.
Kooky. Thank you, Kev.
White devil. Light-skinned bastard.
Thank you, Kev.
Honky prick.
Thanks so much.
Honky prick. Make me stand over here with a band and just say, you crazy kooky.
I'll give you a ride in one of my many cars.
Thank goodness Britney Spears is all right. So's her boyfriend, Justin Timberlake.
Oh, this is why disc jockeys are bad people, boy.
Yeah,
evil. Bad DJs.
Some syndicated DJs from San Jose yesterday spread the rumor that Britney was killed and Timberlake left comatose after a car wreck.
No, the truth is really, she has crabs.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
I mean, quote me on that.
Okay.
She has crabs and he has he has anal warts.
Yes.
And she has crabs.
But they've got a pill now they can take the morning after to make it all go away.
This caused panic. This report of the car wreck caused panic among teenage girls in Dallas, Los Angeles, and San Jose. Their spokespeople say they are alive and well and that there was no such accident. Their people say they plan to get to the bottom of the rumor, starting with a chat with DJs Kramer and Twitch.
Hey, I'm Kramer.
I'm Twitch.
Other stations, however, picked up the story and ran with it.
Of course they did.
Thanks for joining us on the Kramer Twitch get-together.
Now, who's going to pick up my story? That she's got crabs and he has anal warts.
It'll be on the news tomorrow.
Anytime you say, you know, it gets right to the wire.
Someone call Lydia and tell him about it.
Hey, do you hear my partner swear?
People won't believe us, but they will believe Gigor and Lydia.
He has a venereal disease.
Okay, clear the lines right now for a call 100. Oh, your last chance to qualify for tomorrow's grand prize, the big screen color TV we're giving away.
All right.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Good luck.
All right, dude.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh, you like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh. Mama!
Broadcasting northern voices for southern ears. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, Hale Irwin, at the age of 56, the oldest player in the field, shot a 3-under par 67 today to put himself into early contention for a fourth U.S. Open championship.
Yeah. Is he leading?
Yeah, good luck, old man.
One day.
Defending champ Tiger Woods trailed dozens of rivals midway through the opening round at Southern Hills. By late afternoon, play was halted for what was expected to be a lengthy storm delay. A former Atlanta Falcon and Oakland Raider Andre Rison says he's getting married next month.
to the woman who set fire to his mansion 7 years ago.
Stupid.
Unbelievable. Don't do it.
Stupid.
The lady is 30-year-old singer Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
Although it is a great behind the music. If you ever have a chance to watch the TLC behind the music, when she describes how she went into the bathtub, she put all of his sneakers in the bathtub, lit them on fire, and didn't realize that the bathtub was made out of fiberglass.
Oh. Right.
And immediately, before she knew it, the entire house was on fire.
I never knew that. I never knew that. I thought she just torched the place.
No, and then they talked to another girl from TLC, and she says, I got on the phone, and I said, turn on Channel 5. One Eye, or whatever her name is.
Left Eye.
Left Eye is burning down Andre Rison's house.
Do you remember the aerial shots of that shell of a house, that castle?
Oh. Yes. Why? You got to watch Behind the Music TLC, because half of it is her burning down this guy's house.
Wow. Well, the wide receiver has set the date as July 5th. He says he broke up with Lopez. She burned his $1.3 million mansion to the ground, but he says they got back together a short time later.
That's sweet.
And finally, it's been a tradition among the guys who work the assembly line at automobile plants in Britain. They put a message behind the seat panels. Sometimes it's their name, sometimes some other message.
Oh, does this story involve Rob Spiewak?
I don't think so. Well, yeah, actually,
is this about the Queen's car?
Reading down, yes, it does. I see that now.
Yeah.
All these guys on the assembly line know is that the buyer of the car will never see this message being behind the seat panels, unless, of course, the buyer is the Queen. As Her Majesty's security folks were installing bomb-proofing materials in the Queen's new Jaguar, they found a shocking message behind the seat panels.
Rob Spiewak!
They found a swastika and some porno magazines.
Oh, my God.
The Queen,
Rob Spiewak,
who loves Jags and gave the company an award last year, is not amused.
Oh,
the
no.
Jaguar people say they're embarrassed. They have fired one guy already, and word is other heads may roll.
I'm real sorry. I didn't leave those magazines.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Our thanks today to Candace Bushnell.
I love you, Candy.
Her brand new book is called, it's in paperback. Now, is it Four Blondes. A paperback starts on the 4th of July. Paperback distribution.
Right.
Tomorrow, mystery guest, NBA Finals, a special low-budget Jeff Bardi.
Hey, right.
Tomorrow, P. Diddy. All of that on tomorrow's episode. Now call 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm the 100 caller.
Yes, you are, my friend. Hi, and what's your name?
Tony. From Waldorf.
Trying to cut a spot, Tony.
Tony, call 100. You want a Frappuccino a day for a month from Starbucks.
Along
with a Starbucks travel mug, courtesy of Starbucks.
Wait, there's more?
Yep, there is. You lucky bastard.
Thank you.
A Romeo and Juliet commemorative humidor from Old Virginia Tobacco Company, made with a rich black finish, lined with solid Spanish cedar, holds 100 cigars. Stop by and see Gary Pesh. And ask him about the Father's Day special mini humidor with a special gift selection of cigars for $39.95. That's my favorite cigar place, incidentally, is the Old Virginia Tobacco Company.
Thank you.
They're on the web.
Thank you.
I like Gary a lot. Enjoy your stuff, my friend.
Thank you. And I qualify for the...
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes, you're the last person to qualify for the big screen TV we're giving away tomorrow on the show.
Great.
Hey,
36-inch, yes, Gary?
I like you, too.
Yeah.
36-inch Panasonic color TV tomorrow from Graffiti Audio Video. Someone who's won a prize on the show this week will win that television tomorrow.
Cool. I don't want that guy to win.
Hold on, please.
Okay.
And thank you for listening. That's it. We got to go back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
And now, Rob.
Buddy.
You, Mr. Graffiti in the Queen's car. Hey. Throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
Great joy, yes. Overhand.
See ye tomorrow.
Overhand.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, The Don and Mike Show.